The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay, thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now, anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
Welcome to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
Ooh.
On this
Nothing
Tuesday,
against you,
February
Eric.
11th,
Boo.
2014. No Fred.
Boo.
Yeah, we have no idea where he is.
Boo.
Well, we kind of have an idea where he is.
I mean, on this day,
but
is there anyone else you want to break down the possibility of the NFL's first openly gay player other than Fred Kirsch? I mean, the man who believes every wide receiver is gay.
I'm curious to hear what you say about the subject, because this could be your last show.
Fascinating. I have no fears. I'm very comfortable. Could be your last show.
No. Not at all.
You've been known to say some dumb stuff on this airway.
No, not really. But that is a big topic. That's a league-wide topic.
Worldwide.
Worldwide topic, actually.
This
yeah.
is news.
That's
this
true.
Isn't sports. This is news.
It is true. Andy and Paul. Well,
I guess
Paul,
he won't be going to Sochi, huh? Not a good call for him.
Probably not. No.
Good way to not be the first NFL's first openly gay player, because you'd be dead.
No, don't. Yeah.
Be with the dogs in the grave somewhere.
A Russian billionaire came to their defense. Did you see that? I tweeted out yesterday, I retweeted a story yesterday. A Russian billionaire gave money to a woman who runs animal charities in Russia, and she has established makeshift pens for the stray dogs outside of Sochi and is in the process now of getting them adopted homes. So hundreds of these dogs who were slated to be executed are now being saved, thankfully, by this Russian billionaire who he said that he had his first dog was a stray dog, and that's when he heard about that he felt the need to do something about it. So Andy's here, Paul is sort
just
of here
walking between rooms talking
right. And I'm here but we
Hi,
are
how
without
are you?
We are well Fred is now walking into the room. He's breathless.
Give him a minute. He's going to be breathing heavy when he first takes the mic, so he'll
exactly.
have to.
Exactly.
What do you got? You got food at that meeting? In through the nose, out through the mouth, Fred. In through the nose, out through the mouth.
What do you got? Food at that meeting, Fred? You don't need food?
Exactly.
Big time in us.
Why don't you bring some cookies back for us?
Paul, sorry about that last night.
he says with such sincerity. yeah, with a right. smirk on his face.
No, I heard it was a close game.
Bean pot.
Yeah, so up until the fourth, third period.
It was what did you call it? What kind of game was it?
It was a typical stomach punch game.
Stomach punch game for Will.
It's a Northeastern stomach punch. It's
Will's first ever stomach punch game.
Okay. What else? What are you guys talking about?
Wait, we were just setting the table.
I was
just
booing because you weren't here.
Did you give out the numbers and all
no,
that?
No, that's all you.
508-298-0398
okay.
is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com.
What about the other numbers? 855-PATS-500.
Right.
And don't forget our European listeners who can get us at 11,
you can't just say
16,
European.
14, 22, height.
Now, I'm not going to be able to stay for the duration of the show.
Why?
I'm not even supposed to be here. I got yelled at for leaving? Yeah.
By who?
I'm in some kind of management training thing. And
oh, you probably should be there.
You know how to be a manager. What do you need to train?
you need all the training you can get.
I agree.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
So, I disagree completely.
Well,
Eric.
Things aren't working out too well.
Hey, it's working out better for you than it is the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, what is going on?
Ray Farmer's the GM.
Was that a shock?
Yes,
apparently.
Yeah.
Well, did you see somebody tweeted that according to a Browns source, they had a meeting this morning, Haslam walked in, said Banner and Lombardi are out, and walked out of the room.
Wow.
And there was
like no one
knew. But Banner's not leaving till May.
Yeah, he's out. I don't know what his exact departure date is. He's out. So as of now.
And I guess Haslam had some, in his introduction to, like, because they're having a press conference.
Yeah.
And he said that he's been having conversations with Banner about the direction of the organization for the past several weeks.
But Ray Farmer trying to paint this as not necessarily for what he did. He didn't say anything moving forward. He thanked Banner for what he's done.
Maybe he's on the payroll in order to – you can't talk about anything until after the draft.
Maybe. Because this is weird. Most teams, these debacles happen after the draft
because
they're too far into the process. But, I mean,
what the hell is going on? I mean, Joe Banner is like Larry Lucchino. He wants to be a football guy, but he's really not. You know, he was an accountant or whatever. You know, so I can understand that. You know, especially with a team like that where Joe Banner might think there's this vacuum. Oh, here's a time for me to get power.
But what has changed for Joe Banner in this time period? Haslam gave him a role and was comfortable in that role.
He realized he was wrong. I need to get rid of him.
See, because I also wonder
since when. Like, that's my point. Like,
yeah.
Why didn't they clean house when you have a football guy too in Lombardi?
No, but these types of situations, this
bad
transition
one, but
type of situation that's going on in Cleveland brings out either the best or the worst in people. And I'm sure Banner showed signs of Haslam's like, this isn't the guy I want during this transition period. You know
what transition?
Well, they just fired their coach. That's my point.
Like, last year, it was a transition period, and you hired this guy. This year, you're in a transition period, and he's not the guy for your transition period.
I just think, what changed? He learned more about the guy. I mean, you know.
I just think it's odd that you went through the whole coaching change thing with him intact and then got rid of him.
Yeah.
Well, and supposedly,
for all we know, Ray Farmer hired Mike Pettine.
I think someone tweeted that he sort of avoided that question, like that Farmer was involved in the coaching process, the coach search process. But it's definitely a mess.
Is this Ray Farmer guy a real GM, or are they going to still be looking for a GM?
No, I think it's just him now with Pettine, and there's a CEO type, and they all report
side.
To Haslam.
They're not filling Banner's role.
Yeah. Or Lombardi's role.
Well, Lombardi was the GM.
Farmer is Lombardi.
Yeah, but with more power.
Yeah,
Lombardi didn't really have as much power because he answered to Banner.
Banner's role is now out.
Right.
That role no longer exists. Right. It sounds like they have a business guy. They have Farmer.
And so it sounds like there's a tent on the circus.
So Lombardi can go back to washing our nuts in the media.
Whoa.
Maybe you should go back to that management training session.
Well, I did actually say to Paul, the one good thing is now when we're doing a feature or something, we can get Lombardi on the horn.
We got our guy back in the media.
We can just ask Bill Belichick, because apparently he comments on everything and anything these days. Apparently he's solving the world's problems.
Well, I don't know.
We didn't get a statement.
I think his hand was forced a little bit yesterday, and, you know, I don't want to get in trouble here, but...
Then don't.
You know, I think
management
there was...
Training.
I think there was only one other owner besides the Patriots who actually said anything about that I saw. Tish from the Giants mentioned...
It's a tough guy.
...about, you know, Michael Sam, and then... Robert Kraft had a statement about it yesterday.
Right.
And I think when that happens, Stacey James from Media Relations gets bombarded by people asking Belichick's reaction to it. And I guess they felt, you know what, let's just put out a statement.
Well, Robert was actually interviewed, wasn't he?
He was. But, you know, he said something about it.
But why do you need to go to the next
step? It was more than a statement.
Why do you need to go the next? I mean, they're asked for comments from Bill on a lot of stuff. And Bill himself either declines or they decline.
Well, I think it was more, you know, look, his owner said something.
Right. What do I need to talk for?
No, but do you agree with it?
But how many times has Bill said, you know, I think Robert answered that and I agree?
What if he doesn't 100%. Say anything, though?
Bill?
I think nothing.
He's like the other
Can
32
Can the speculation
coaches?
Be that Bill Belichick isn't on board with his owner?
No, that's
not
ridiculous.
At all.
Who
not
would
at all.
Make that ridiculous leap?
There's many things that Robert has... A lot of people.
I disagree.
I think there's many things that Robert has spoken on that Bill has chosen not to speak on. Right. And I don't think the speculation from that is that they're butting heads or on opposite sides. And I think McCarthy, Mike McCarthy from Green Bay, was the only other coach that commented.
Well, give me something. Give me an example of something that Robert Kraft has commented on Patriots-wise that Belichick hadn't already talked about.
Well, I'll give you, I'll give you a quick example, and it's not necessarily this. It's not apples to apples because it's not this kind of an issue. But after the playoffs, a lot of times Robert sort of gives his summation about the team and this and that, and you know, at owners' meetings and such. And Bill is at those meetings. You know, the various places, and doesn't speak.
Yeah, well, but Robert speaks. But Bill had his chance to speak about those games after.
I said it's not apples to apples. Well,
Robert went through a play-by-play of the West Welker negotiations, and Bill did not.
Okay, that's a good example.
That's a better example than that.
But how many times has Bill said Robert has spoken about that? If your boss speaks about it, I don't know why an underling needs to.
Yeah, no.
Like, if somebody gets a comment from you for PFW, they don't then go to Paul. Yeah, they've gotten the paper's response.
I just think, and I don't know this, but I just think that they were getting bombarded, and they said, let's just get it out there so that.
I think it's another in a weird stretch of Bill Belichick's
statements. Well, the better question would be, is there a time that media relations was absolutely bombarded on an issue that you just refused to comment on? You know, I don't know the answer.
I don't have the answer to that.
I don't know the answer to that.
I agree with you.
You know?
Can you ask somebody in your management?
But don't you think it's like, if you're going to put out this, I just thought it was weird. Like, evidently, just the people that requested Belichick got the statement. Is that how it worked?
No, I think he was probably blanket.
It didn't come out to us.
It didn't go. It wasn't tweeted out. It wasn't sent to us via email.
No, it was sent to. I got it, and we put it up on Patriots.com.
We weren't given one.
I didn't get it.
We're always part of the normal PR distribution.
Yeah, it wasn't on a full distribution list.
So they gave it.
I got it on one of those blind CCs.
We did not.
That makes more sense then. What they did was they made sure that we got it on Patriots.com.
Right.
But they didn't have to go through the, you know. That makes more sense now.
But it also means it was not a blanket distribution list.
No.
Right.
Well, I guess. Yeah. I didn't know.
We're on the blanket distribution list.
I assumed it was.
It wasn't.
Okay. Yeah.
It felt weird to me. The guy who's not trying to solve the world's problems is suddenly commenting on a thing that's sort of the world's problem.
Yeah.
Like, the first openly gay player. That is a very worldly issue.
Again, it's not my place to tell the owner of the New England Patriots what to do. But if I was his media
Another
relations.
Management thing.
I would have told it that. You don't need to comment on this. It really, right now, has nothing to do with us.
But it's a league issue. And Robert is
It is.
Robert is as close to the top of the league pecking order as you can pretty much get.
Yeah, it's a little surprising.
Right?
But I would let the league comment on it then.
Do you think that there's a possibility, the three of us were talking as we came in, do you think there's a possibility that maybe the league sort of is encouraging the teams to sort of talk about this?
Well, the league has come out, who was it, Aiello?
Yeah.
And said, hey, great, good for him.
Right. No, we know what people are going to say. You're not going to be the guy that says, I have no desire to have him on my team, certainly not on the record.
But you might be the guy that says nothing.
Yeah, there's a guy. Yeah. There was a guy who said
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying nothing.
There was a guy
who said
that,
you have a negative connotation.
So you think every coach that said nothing
on the record
doesn't want him on his team?
No, he was quoted, but not.
Oh, yeah, not on the record.
My point is, I don't think you needed to say anything.
Right. So why did Bill say something?
Because I think they were bombarded after the quotes came out from Robert Kraft.
So why did Tom Coughlin not say anything? Were they not bombarded? Like, I don't understand the bombardment issue. I don't. Don't you already have your answer? Robert already issued a statement. Why would his underling issue a statement?
I don't know. I don't know.
It makes no sense to me on any level.
For all we know, for all we know, Bill Belichick wanted to have a comment out there that maybe he feels strongly about this.
Yeah,
issue.
But it wasn't really that strong a statement. I didn't feel like because I actually thought about that. You know, his Jim Brown relationship, and maybe this is something with him. Like, maybe he has a thing. Like, this is an issue he really.
Right.
But then the statement wasn't really
You're
strong.
Right. It was more like, hey.
Yeah, we look at all players and they all have
and
histories.
And we'll continue to look at them.
They
right.
all have strengths, yeah. weaknesses. Yeah.
You know what I love is the dissection of the statement, you know, driving home yesterday. I think on EEI they were talking about, he came right out and said he was evaluating Michael Sam.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
I'm like yeah.
Yeah.
And if you asked him about
and if he hadn't
Tim
been,
Smith, he would have
right.
told you he was evaluating Tim Smith too. Because I'll guarantee you that Bill Belichick at this stage, with his knowing him, would be able to do that for 250, 300 plus players.
But not even
already.
That. I mean. He is the SEC Defensive Player of the Year.
No, I understand
like
that.
He's not the kid out of, what did I say, Lombard State or something.
But
there's
I'm
a lot of small school kids.
Lindenwood.
Lindenwood. you know, okay, right. You hadn't heard of him yet, but the SEC co-defensive player of the year.
But I'm even taking a step further.
You're right. You're fired.
I'll bet you, Bill. Goes,
I actually haven't heard of him. Bill, you're out.
I'll bet you, Bill, is well versed on the guy from Lindenwood.
I'm
at
sure
this
he
stage.
Is too.
But you know, even to take,
I think
it as,
every
you know,
GM, I think Ray
further.
Farmer or somebody who got hired tomorrow could tell you about
and
Sam
the,
Mike.
And
Michael
the other
Sam.
Part, you know,
Will.
Well, Sam Mike,
you know,
he's going to play all three spots for
it's
us.
It's a lock. You know, the Patriot. This is a perfect Patriot. You
is
know?
It? Because I look at it the exact opposite.
Like I don't think football wise, he
you know
fits.
The perfect place, Pittsburgh.
Yes.
They take all those undersized
small
pass rushers,
linebackers.
Tweener defensive ends.
You're going to try to make this guy an outside linebacker, and Belichick has
his arms aren't long enough.
Passed on guys who aren't 6'4".
Right.
I mean, that's what I found ridiculous. Maybe from a Robert Kraft is open and progressive that it is a good place, but if it's a football decision, which is what everybody wants it to be, right? That's the bottom line.
Right.
Is everybody wants the gay player to be treated like a regular player and just brought in.
Drafted on his merits.
If that's the case, then this is not the perfect place for him. Because our outside linebackers look more like Jamie Collins. Tall, lean, athletic, not short and stout.
Well, Ninkovich is a little bit shorter.
He is. Yeah. He's more, yeah.
Well, but he's not. I mean, this guy's like 6'1".
I heard he was 6'2", but big
yeah,
deal.
But, okay, yeah. So I guarantee
you always,
at the
you should
combine,
always lower
he'll
that.
Be 6'1".
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and he's listed at 262,
which means he's
means
probably 250.
He's probably lower than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I wish it was just a non-story. Unfortunately, it is a big deal.
I'd like to know who the like to know who was the executive who was not named but was quoted as saying, "Yeah, this is going to cost him. He's going to this is still a man's man game."
Oh, really? Somebody said that?
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to find out which one that was.
Not more than one has said this is going to cost him, but I hadn't heard that part.
Yeah.
I think anything can cost you. I mean, any additional consideration.
Yes.
Costs you.
Yeah.
You know, is your mother a prostitute? Costs you. Is your if you're not the perfect no questions asked prospect, something can adversely affect your stock.
I also thought it was interesting. I read a comment from another anonymous guy who said, you know, this is he thinks it's going to help him, and I kind of agree. But his reasoning was interesting. He said that he's a tweener in terms of position. Andy just talked about the defensive end, outside linebacker. He's going to have to do something probably different in the pros than he did in college, and that's hard. That's a hard transition. And this guy said, when you have a tweener, you look even more closely at character.
Mm-hmm.
Because sure. You can't have other, I mean, the guy needs to be bright. The guy needs to be well-rounded. The guy needs to
coachable.
Be open
coachable.
To coaching.
Right.
And he said he can't imagine a guy who's going to have higher character than this guy.
Yeah.
Coming out based on what he's doing.
What I hope, what I hope,
Harrison.
What I
really
what I'm praying doesn't happen though. What I'm praying
no.
doesn't
well,
happen
you know, for a tweener.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's I think there's some chemical reasons that aided
right.
that whole process.
And that might work for Michael Sam when he gets to Pittsburgh.
Sure.
Because my guy Kevin Colbert, I can't see him holding this against him.
But this guy seemed to think that he's going to end up benefit. You know, this could be beneficial for
yeah,
him.
But we'll never know.
I certainly think a lot
I mean,
more people know who Michael
round,
Sam
yes,
is right now than did
what,
yesterday.
What I'm praying doesn't happen, and I can't imagine it would, is that he doesn't get drafted or even invited to camp, and then now we have a discrimination case.
Oh, well, that is a if he doesn't get invited to camp, that's a discrimination case.
That would
that's
be.
That's ridiculous.
That, and I think there's a 0% chance
I'll be,
of that.
I'll be testifying yeah. for him.
I think, there's a chance that he goes undrafted. But I don't
see,
think
I
don't think there's a chance that he I don't think he will. There's a
because I don't see how a guy goes.
I mean,
from
he's
the
a
third
day three
thing.
Guy.
Because of that,
how do you go from
no.
third round to?
I don't think it's
going to
be because
like
of this.
Right.
I mean, unless you have an issue.
Right.
So I,
you know, he's considered a mid round pick, which to me is a wide gap.
Well, I heard that third to fifth round.
Draft Scout has him as third,
I mean,
and Mayock had him as third. If you're mentioning
Gil
third,
Gil Brandt says he
yeah,
shouldn't be drafted.
I'm not surprised.
But I'm just saying there's different
the
guys that have
Texan doesn't right, want him drafted.
Right. There's
a surprise.
This is based on the Senior Bowl. He said this is not based on yesterday.
I know, but I don't really. In all honesty, I don't put Gil Brandt at the top of my list. I put Mayock and
I don't
NFL
care.
Draft Scout.
That's
high.
Fine. I'm just telling
Gil
you there's
Brandt
different
the guy
guys that have different opinions of the guy.
My favorite guy at the combine. This guy's gonna like he has no credibility at this point in his career. He's
okay.
The patriarch of the combine.
Okay.
If you're going to look at actual scouts, I have more respect for Mayock. I have more respect for NFL draft scout than Gil part-time Brandt.
Okay. Paul's checked out.
No, well, I okay.
So that's Michael Sam. The Cleveland Browns story is mm-hmm. a big story. Bill Belichick.
That Josh is happy he didn't take that job, huh?
Yeah.
This is probably
Bill Belichick
why he didn't take
and,
that job.
Yeah. and Tom Brady, I guess, didn't qualify for in Pebble Beach.
Yeah, no.
Is that right? I don't know what happened.
I have
with
no
them.
Idea.
They were. Brady was 13 under, and Belichick and his crew were 12 under. That's the last I heard.
Okay. It wasn't like last year. Last year, he was in the, Belichick was in the running, right?
I think so. You do realize it's all about what the pro does, right?
Oh, I know.
Oh, okay.
I know. No, but
you're like, Belichick was in the running.
Well, no,
Belichick
his,
was
his
along
group
for the ride.
Was in the running last year.
Yeah, but you play the pro's ball unless you have a great shot, right?
And he had a couple,
it's like
I
a best
guess.
Ball type thing.
And there's different, let's put it this way. The winner of the pro-am hasn't have anything really to do with the am.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Anything else Patriots-wise that came up over the weekend since our last show?
Gronk's making the rounds a little bit on the internet.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that thing that he did about the with Barstool. They did a video about figure skating. They had a mock figure skating contest with three guys. One did a thing on the – remember that movie
None
Slap?
Of these are what I was talking about.
Remember that thing with Slapshot, the movie, where the guy did the striptease? One guy did that, and it was not funny, unfortunately.
Wait, what did Gronk do?
He was one of the judges.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I was talking about he was playing.
He didn't skate.
I had high hopes, but it wasn't. It
was Providence College.
He played beer pong at PC, and everybody was getting all riled up because it was too noisy, like the RAs and stuff. He was then more recently in Fort Myers playing pool and just out having a good time. And then I was going to put this on the blog, but I didn't know if we'd get in trouble. He did a T-Mobile video, kind of like the Tim Tebow.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been good.
Yeah, that's what I figured because we're
Verizon,
whatever. Yeah. But he's very funny. He goes. Having Sprint, so I'm not ripping Verizon. Having Sprint is like being a receiver with hands of stone, and he holds, and then he goes, an alligator arms, and he does like these little flailing arms. Like, it's very funny. It's like this little 15-second video or something. But, yeah, he's, the
he's
summer.
Making
of,
the rounds.
The summer of Gronk has started early.
It's the winter of Gronk.
Yeah, it's the winter of Gronk. Although I was actually thinking, to be fair, we know he's been working out here. He's rehabbing, whatever. He's doing all that. And he could be in Florida to go see Dr. James Andrews. And, you know, here in Florida, you're going to go out to a bar and play a little pool.
Yeah.
It's just what you do.
I mean.
What about the PC beer pong?
I'm okay with it right now, if in case you're wondering.
That was after the workout.
I'm a little not okay with it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to know whether he has a knee brace on.
Okay.
Because if he's playing beer pong at PC, like on a slippery frat room floor, you know, and he doesn't have a knee brace on, you could have a minor little tweak post-surgery, nothing's healed enough, and it could set you back. That would be my only concern. I don't really care that he's playing beer pong. A little weird, by the way. At some point, stop going to college campuses. That's a little weird.
That's kind of my feeling on it. And I know he's
still
a young
with the bar.
I know he's still a young guy. Yeah, you could go. I'm not telling him to be a hermit. You can go out.
If you go to a college campus, something bad could happen.
What are you doing?
You could bang some 17-year-old or something, and all of a sudden you're in this like bad area.
And I know he's still a young guy. He's not, you know. I just.
Unless it's a bar near a campus, in which case a lot of them probably aren't 21.
But that's not his job. If they're in there, he thinks they're 21. As Lawrence Taylor says, I don't check IDs.
And we all know how well it worked out for him.
I know. Especially at the Super Bowl. They were like shipping him into him with that whole.
Yeah.
That really kind of got brushed under the rug.
Yeah.
Did the NFL do that? That whole like sex trafficking
There was
thing?
A human trafficking sting with.
During the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really that big a story. It was like, yeah, they had a
should have been.
There were girls who were missing and were part of like what?
like children.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like
young
teens. And it
teens.
Just kind of went away.
Yeah, that's
the NFL really is powerful, huh?
Well, it's really not an NFL story. It's a New Jersey, New York story.
It's a Super Bowl.
They were there because of the Super Bowl.
No, I know, but you know,
they shipped in sex trafficking people for the Super Bowl.
Every year that there's a Super Bowl, and there is a Super Bowl every year. They ship in prostitutes. I mean, that's known.
Yes, but there's a difference between prostitutes, strippers, and sex
I was about to say the difference here is with the kids. And so then, why this particular one? Why this Super Bowl?
Maybe
and I would say the difference
them.
Is New Jersey, New York, and
but maybe they just caught
them. They made them. Yeah,
and they didn't catch them in the previous.
Maybe.
Sites.
Yeah.
I have no problem with the strippers and the prostitutes. God bless the strippers.
Yeah, I don't either. It's a victimless crime.
Reciprocal touching. Yeah. That's where it's at.
Sure. By the way, HBO the new series True Detective?
I'm going to start. Everybody's raving about it. I got to watch it.
It's unbelievable.
I got to watch.
I watched all the first four episodes last night.
It's on demand.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
It's incredible.
I got to watch.
It's incredible. I mean, the writing is like out of this world. And McConaughey and Harrelson are great actors.
Now, are they gay?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so. It hasn't come out yet. Oh, you mean in real life?
No.
Because that's
the jump.
That I because
not
I,
in the show, but
they're
real
always
life, maybe.
They're always running around with shirts off.
They're too good looking for you anyway, Andy.
McConaughey's that weird, like he smokes pot, doesn't wear a shirt, plays the guitar
least,
under a
at
tree.
At least through episode four, that hasn't come out.
Okay.
Yeah,
but I have yet to hear a bad word about it.
Oh,
of course,
really
that's
good.
What I heard about the Lego movie, and
it's really good.
My boys don't like it.
Well,
I haven't seen it.
The Lego movie?
No. True Detective.
Oh, I've heard nothing but good things from
it. It's not really for kids, though, is it?
No. Mike's not. No. My friends.
The Pesci brothers.
My friends.
Yeah. All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com.
In real life, maybe.
Now, I actually need to get going.
Now?
Yeah, but I feel like I got the show off on the right foot for you guys.
Is that what you did?
Yeah. And so you guys can continue. If you want to take a break now, you can reset. Someone can take this chair.
Sure. Actually, I'd like to log in over here.
Okay, so I'll just turn this off.
Yeah.
All right. So
this ends the most awkward appearance on this show ever.
No, so let's take a break. And when we come back, Eric will take over the hosting duties. And you guys can talk about whatever you want.
Okay.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
That's what everybody knows her for.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at
the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
Attached
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
And he took the roller coaster out of the studio. He's gone now. Fred Kirsch is out, but you can be in.
It's unfortunate.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398, 855-PATS-500, toll free. And then, Andy, give us a country.
Oh, we're going to go over to the Ukraine. 0-800-502-749. That's 0800-502-749. Like that. I have a very controversial question to ask.
Okay.
Okay.
Fire away.
It's a controversial show.
Well, yes, it's related to Michael
topic.
Sam.
Okay.
People say it's not fair, the sort of homophobic view of gays in the locker room, to think he's going to be attracted to me and that's not right. Isn't that the exact same thing we do with females in the locker room? Like, every time there's a female reporter in the locker room, somebody's making snide remarks about, we know why she's there. Guys like Fred. You know, she's looking, she's a pickle watcher. So it's really not, in some ways, it's almost consistent.
It's not out of the question that
and,
somebody
and,
might
and
act that way.
And it's almost being consistent. The weirdos that would say, all she's in there for is you know what, are the same people who are probably going to say, all he's in there for is you know what. Right? So in some ways, it's actually keeping the same standard. It's the person
right.
sort of projecting their own maturity or views or whatever on the situation more so than, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I wonder get your correlation.
I wonder how, like, what if he is in his locker room, Michael Sam, or any other gay player, and senses that there's a teammate who he's maybe attracted to, and maybe gets the sense that that teammate might be of like mind.
The gaydar?
Maybe. What happens then? Okay. I mean, because it's not out of the question for people to have workplace romances.
Right.
Would that, like, what would the dynamic be there?
Not good.
Not good for who?
Anybody involved. Yeah, and I think it's not good regardless of boy, girl, yeah. I think office romance, workplace romances, and that is a very tight-knit, competitive workplace, wouldn't be good. You know, even just somehow pretend football was, you know, mixed and you could have boys and girls playing. I think it would be bad if a boy and a girl on a football team were banging. I don't think that would be good for the team either.
No, and we in Boston,
you know, he's banging the receiver. You know, Brady and a female receiver is a mix. So they're banging. Now you throw to her all the time. Blah, 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 blah. Like, something is going to come from it that isn't good.
There's a lot of different things that could be bad, and you know, in Boston here, there's been a story over the last couple of months that's sort of gotten some traction. The Boston Red Sox sideline reporter on Nesson, Jenny right. Dell, is in a relationship with third baseman Will Middlebrooks. The Red Sox have now taken her off her sideline duty. She still works for Nesson in the studio. But I think that a lot of the same things that we're just talking about potentially could have been problems there.
Right.
You know, oh, you know, you're talking to him. You know, what are you telling her at night? You know, teammates, you know, you know, that was just between us. Now, are you telling Jenny that stuff? You know, so multiply that to me by a much more serious level and some of the things that Andy's bringing up if you have a relationship. And I don't know if you guys caught the football life of the former Redskins tight end Jerry Smith, yep. who played in the late 60s through the 70s for Washington. Tight end, very good player, was gay. Virtually everybody on the Redskins knew he was gay, but he never came out.
Until after he retired?
Well, he died of AIDS in the mid-80s. I'm not sure if he ever really came out before he died. But there was one of his teammates who was also gay that did... they had a moment, for lack of a better way to put it. You'd have to see the documentary and listen to the way he's telling it. There was some sort of
I don't know, potential for something to happen. They never, you know, got together, but
there was chemistry.
Yeah, there was some sort of moment. That's all I'm saying. And evidently, Jerry Smith wanted no part of that for those reasons. Right. I think he wanted to make sure that he kept that personal life out of the locker room.
Right.
And
someday it might be accepted. Yeah. Like, we know there's plenty of banging other guys' wives. Because that's kind of not okay, but more common. Someday it might be okay that this is more. But right now, on sort of the forefront of the frontier.
But that's a great analogy, Andy. How many times have you seen teams have to make transactions based on that?
Right.
Because you can't have them in the same locker room.
Right.
Well, that guy banged that guy's wife.
Is not
they
that
can't coexist.
Much different. I mean, it's a little different, but not all that much different.
Can you imagine?
I also don't think it's overly homophobic or whatever the word might be for a player to think that the guy might be attracted to him. Because again, I assume that player thinks every woman that walks into the locker room is attracted to him. I think he's holding the same standard. Anyone who likes men is going to want me because I'm me. Like, I think those guys all think, you know, not the Logan Mankins offensive lineman type, but like the corners, the wide receivers, the studs. I think they think everybody who's attracted to men wants a piece of them because they're the, you know, God's gift to.
Now, the next question to that is there a problem there?
Where?
If that's the case. Okay, no, he's going to be attracted to me. Okay. Now, does that prevent you from doing, you know, he thinks the women reporters are in there watching. They're really not.
Right.
But is it a problem if they all think that?
I also don't think it is. It's just, you got to deal with it. It's life. It's you know, other things that you deal with that would, in an ideal world, would you not want to have to consider, think, whatever? But
remember when the Riley Cooper incident came up last summer in camp? I don't remember if it was him or somebody else was saying that he or other white wide receivers used to get a lot of flack on the field from defensive backs because they were white wide receivers.
Right.
And not that they were trying to explain why he said what he said, but just trying to point out a fact that because he's different, opponents would treat him differently. I wonder if Michael Sam goes into a locker room. Obviously, he came out at Missouri, so his teammates were supportive of him. But I don't know if anybody else in the Big 12 knew. And if they did, would they have treated him different? Would opponents have treated him differently on the field because knowing?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like,
would they
have done to him what they did to Riley Cooper because
they
he's
would
different?
Say stuff? I mean, I don't know how far they
try
take
to get in
it.
His head.
Oh yeah,
or
no doubt.
Do stuff like that.
But it's
field.
What you do. It's what you target people's insecurities or their weak points, and that would be perceived to be his. Now it may not affect him. I don't know how strong he is, how comfortable he is, what have you. But there is no doubt people would. You know, approach that topic and try to use it as an advantage. I also think,
because that's something he's probably never had to deal with,
or at least on a limited basis.
Yeah,
probably at the very least. Well, there's also the issue of other players have probably dealt with that who aren't gay. You know, we joke about it all the time. You know, think people who we think are gay. You don't think players do that? Mm-hmm. You don't think players on other teams do that and then say something? Mm-hmm. You know, the DB thinks that receiver and he hasn't. Now, he may or may not be, but it's being said.
Yeah.
And so it could have been said to Michael Sam as something that,
no
one really knew.
Right.
So he can't really react because, you know, if he's still sort of living a secret. But I also think the other issue is he came out as a senior leader on a team. Well, that's a little different than, you know,
trying to be a freshman.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You know, your first, what he's going to be now, a freshman NFL player trying to work your way in, get your foot in the door. So there's a little difference there. And I also think it's a little different just in college because of the whole, you know, he came out to a group of guys that he's been with for 4 years that like him, or for the most part, probably, you know, some don't. Some don't like him because they didn't like him. But most of them like him. They've gone through a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little different.
Plus,
so
I think it's better. College is a better environment in general for it. He was probably was able to find places that he was more comfortable.
Maybe more like-minded people, even though people say, oh, it's Missouri, it's sort of near the South, and it might be the X, Y. Well, in the NFL, there's an even greater talent coming from all over. You know, you got guys from Germany, you got guys from the ranch in California, you got guys from Florida, the sugar cane fields, all over the place.
One of the things that sort of interests me with this, you know, people talk about, you know, what's going to happen in the locker room. They're going to be, we see in all the anonymous quotes and stuff, What locker room has 53 people that are like-minded?
None.
So, like, isn't this just the same thing? I mean, I understand that this is a big deal, but there are plenty of guys in that locker room that feel ridiculously strongly about religion, and there are probably other guys that couldn't care less.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to coexist. They're able to play. You know, there's probably some guys that believe in interracial marriage, other guys that don't. You know, there's all kinds of ideological differences between 53 different men,
mm-hmm.
some of which 10, 12 years difference in age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about, you know, what Gronk is doing at night as opposed to, you know, what Logan Mankins is doing at night. You know, those are two guys in two totally different worlds.
Mm-hmm. You brought up religion. I actually think religion could be the biggest issue. Because
yeah, I was just thinking the same
I think
thing.
A lot of guys who may be quote unquote homophobic now could easily be swayed. Well, he's a good guy and he's helping us win. So he's gay, but he's our gay and I love him. The guys that have these hard and fast religious beliefs
might be harder to.
Yeah, I don't think
convince.
Even if they are kind of want if they're kind of leaning. Well, but I can't because my beliefs are my beliefs and I've been fighting for my beliefs for 27 years and I'm not just going to change now. So I think those might be the hardest.
Yeah,
converts or whatever you want to call them.
I just wonder what part of that belief, you know, was to hate somebody for what they do.
It doesn't matter. They read a thing where, you know, if you lieth with another man, you have sinned and blah, blah, blah.
No, but you might consider it a sin based on your belief. But now let's take that a step further. Do you have to, you know, ostracize this sinner?
I don't know.
I mean, look at the Taliban. They take their Quran
right.
to the extreme, and they want to kill you if you don't believe what they believe.
They all use it to express
there are extremists. There are extremists
and
everywhere,
and this is rational behavior.
No, it's not. I'm just saying.
But that's my point.
There are extremists though that use religion.
Correct.
The wrong way.
And those people, whatever percentage they are, because I do think there's a percentage of very hardline Southern Christian, whatever they're called, in NFL locker rooms. I think those could be the hardest to deal with. In this,
you know, could you see like Tim Tebow?
That would be
shunning a homosexual.
That would be. It would have been an interesting dynamic to see play out, though,
because I couldn't see him shunning a. And you know, you talk about a Southern Christian. I mean, can you get more in line with that kind of thought?
That's a great question.
Tebow? And I just can't. I mean, maybe
as the new analyst for the SEC, maybe somebody should ask him on ESPN.
Yeah, and I don't know how much he did with the SEC last year. I'm sure he followed a lot of the stuff, and maybe he already knew all about Michael Sam. Because it doesn't seem like to me this was that big of a secret.
No.
In the football.
It was open knowledge at the Senior Bowl.
Of the SEC.
And reporters, that's why, players, coaches, scouts, everybody knew.
So that means the teams in the SEC all knew last
right.
year, too. And I think it's a credit to the entire network
right, the SEC.
That – and I don't mean the SEC network. I mean that network, that football fraternity, that it was as well guarded as it was, because it does seem like, Andy, you're right. It seems like a lot of people.
And I also give
knew.
Credit to, I got to think there were a lot of reporters that knew.
Yeah.
Missouri SEC reporters that knew and just said, it's not our place. He'll decide when this is going to become his.
And hats off to those people that did
exactly.
That.
Especially in this day
that's
and
my
age
point.
Of reporting. I'm
that's
surprised
a great story if you came out and knew that. You know?
It's not a great story if you ruin his life, though.
No, exactly. But
and give them credit for
it gives you credit
by taking that approach.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Hats
showing
off to
restraint.
Those people if they did
if they
know
knew
and
it.
How
not
they
like
react.
The guy in Die Hard, the reporter, the remember the guy that's always trying to get the story and he doesn't give a rat's ass about it.
All right, 508-298-0398.
Serious social issue when he goes to Die Hard.
Is our ace ticket hotline.
God.
And?
Oh, believe me, I withheld earlier. I had plenty. You were talking about Jerry Smith, the tight end. I had plenty of jokes
lined up.
They're
going to rerun that. I just saw a commercial.
And I do need to get it out there because it's what I do. I bring lighthearted
nature. Okay, hold on a second, Eldridge.
The only other player from Missouri to win a conference defensive player of the year.
Yeah, this
honor.
Bit of trivia that Andy found out before we came down
Jeff
to the show.
Jeff Gaylord. I'll leave it at that.
And that's a fact.
According to NFLDraftScout.com, that is a fact. Jeff Gaylord.
Okay. Eldridge, what's on your mind today, my friend?
I read Belichick's quote, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So maybe him and Mr. Kraft won't have nothing to do, have nothing to worry about as long as the player he's producing and they winning on the field. But you have to worry about some of the players, like y'all said. Some of them might get along with it, some of them might not. All depends on what area they're caught up in and what, you know.
Well, yeah, the thing I think that the three of us in the studio here are having a little trouble with is the fact that Belichick went out of his way to issue a statement. It's not like they drafted him yet. If they draft the player, Right. Now you have a legitimate reason. You know, the coach has to say something about the players that he drafted. They're only in the evaluation process. There was no pressing need for the media to get Belichick's reaction to this.
And like I said, he also didn't say anything.
Well, no.
I could have also, you know, if he had come out hard and fat in this day and age, if we chose to draft a player like Michael Sam, he would have been embraced in our locker room. If he came out and said something, all he said is, you know, everybody has strengths and weaknesses. We look at everybody and blah, blah.
Two players are the same.
Michael Sam's name to Tom Savage.
Fill in the blank.
Right. No, just fill in the blank. He would have said the same thing.
So that's why I found it weird. If you want to say something, then say it.
But the writer, if you read the other part of that, the writer talking about the best pick would beat New England. I'm like, huh? you read the internet.
Yeah, they're just talking about the strength of the leadership in the locker room.
They're not looking at football. Because I do think, you know, Bill gives guys chances. You know, he might see him as a special teamer. He might say, this guy has the heart, desire, and athletic. He can be a great special teamer for me. He can be my next Larry.
And also, if he thinks he can rush the passer, he's got to put aside the 6'4", 260, 270 thing.
Because he hasn't.
I know, but I'm saying he should. If he thinks.
All we have is tall pass rushers, whether they can rush the passer or not.
I know that, but as we've seen in this league, there are short guys who can rush the passer much better than anybody we have.
Mm-hmm.
So it would behoove him to overlook the fact that his numbers aren't up there the way Bill wants them to be.
If that's what he thought.
But it, you know, if you're projected to be a third round player as Michael Sam is, maybe he's not going to be
That tells the story on some level. You have a guy who is the co-defensive player of the year in the best league. You know, everybody, it's a minor league for the NFL. It's the greatest. You know, some of these teams could compete with NFL teams, and he was a mid-round pick. I mean, already.
Mm.
So that tells you what he was thought of talent-wise, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
so
I think so.
He may have been the most productive player in the league on defense last year, but that doesn't mean he is the best defensive player coming out of the SEC.
Jake Beckett was an SEC sack leader.
Right. And we saw what that guy. Right.
And he was a third round pick.
And
you can get, you know, if you can get drafted in the fourth round, you can go undrafted.
Right.
I think that those guys, there's a microscopic difference between a seventh round pick and a fourth round pick. It's not like a first and a third.
It's all about personal taste at that point for the teams and all that. Yeah.
So I think that he will get drafted because I think he's going to get drafted on his production. At a high level in Missouri, but I think he's a day three pick based on everything I'm reading.
Well, yeah, he's definitely going to be a day three pick. It's just early or late. But I just find it hard to believe. I think he had like 10 and a half sacks last year.
11 and a half.
I think. Yeah.
Give me the list. Nine of them in a three game span.
Give me the list of eligible guys who had double digit sacks in college.
You know what?
Football.
I heard
just
a
give me that list.
Is Eldridge, you still there?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
Paul's done with you.
No, I hear him talking. I feel like we're
he's
talking
trying to speak
over
up a little bit. Yeah.
I'm trying to get two questions in, but y'all keep talking.
Right.
I'm talking.
I was trying to let him get his questions in.
Andy.
Yes. Eldridge.
I'm sitting around yesterday in Shelby, talking to one of our players' family members.
Okay.
And I can't believe what they said, but I'm going to bring something to you. But one of our guys was injured, put on IR. Was he on IR because he was injured? Was he on IR because he missed a lot of team meets? Yeah, I guess you know who I'm talking about.
Okay. I guess would be you're talking about Brandon Spikes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a story out that he was late to work the Friday before the bye week. The Friday of the bye week, I guess I should say, of the playoffs, and that's why they put him on IR.
So that part's true.
I said it was a report.
But I can tell you he was not the only person that was late to a meeting this year or miss or something. He did not miss or be late to one thing and get kicked to IR. It was a culmination of factors.
Okay. Other question is he still in the country or is he a free agent?
He's a free agent.
He's long gone and hard to find.
He's probably
stunned if he's back.
Probably on somebody else's team in the spring.
Yeah, so what they're saying is trying to get with Dallas. His family member. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool.
All right.
Brandon Spikes going to Dallas. You heard it here on PFW in Progress, reported by Eldridge.
Eldridge in North Carolina.
Citing a source close to the player. That's what you say, Eldridge. You don't say family. You say a source, quote-unquote, close to the player.
Yeah, you don't want to lose your source.
Right.
And don't write sources.
No.
Yeah.
Unless you have more than one.
Yeah,
was
right.
It two people?
Yeah, it was about three. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then sources close to the player. Well done, Eldridge.
All right. Anything else, my friend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Andy, I agree with you, man. Don't bring, if Gonzalez wants to have a season to come for a Super Bowl ride, no, he needs to ride the whole train.
That's right. No bandwagon jumpers here. We ain't just giving out Super Bowl rings. You got to earn them.
Now, yeah, right. Now, if right. he was an outside wide receiver who could get down the field, that'd be a, different,
story for Eldridge.
Right? No, I want one of them right off the beginning.
If his name was Randy Moss and he was willing to play in mid-January, Eldridge would take him.
All right, Eldridge.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good stuff.
Randy played beginning of the season.
Oh, okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Love
I
Eldridge.
Love Eldridge. He's great.
He's a
He's
funny
a happy
guy.
He really is.
This
even
is...
when you like he has no like defense mechanism.
Yeah, like we're talking over him and he's trying to get his questions.
Or even
in.
If he says something,
he's not even the least bit mad.
What do you guys think about bringing in so and so? That's a stupid idea.
Yeah. Oh, okay, stupid idea. Right.
And go.
Moves on.
Like he has no like. He seems like a great guy to hang out with. Like you feel better just being around him. Maybe that's why Brandon Spikes' family was hanging out with
maybe.
Him. And Shelby.
Taz in Toronto, whose real name is Jeff, but he goes by Taz on this show, says, I'm a long-time listener and have had my emails read on the radio. I've been to training camp and Patriots games and all that, and I'm openly gay. I congratulate Sam and think he is pretty brave by coming out before the draft since it could hurt his value. A lot less drama and having to lie at the combine interviews by getting it out of the way. I think Sam being the first openly gay player in the NFL will help his stock more than hurt it, just because I feel there's going to be a team who wants to take a chance and get some great PR at the same time. I know he's estimated to be drafted in the third, on the third day, and I just think someone will take a shot on him if they know they have the city and locker room for it. Andy mentioned the Steelers taking smaller linebackers like him, so I could see that happen. If he was a first-round talent, then I feel like maybe he could slide but to get picked up in round 5, 6 instead of 7 or undrafted is definitely better than nothing.
You know, Joey Porter, their new assistant coach, I'm sure would be very welcoming to Michael Sam.
Yeah.
Can't imagine he'd have a problem.
Seriously.
So this is not the same young gay listener that we had who was a high school football player. Remember who we had that? He didn't leave a name, so I don't think it's the same person.
No, I don't think that's the same. I don't think that's the same person because Taz is he has
Taz loved
in,
the name.
Yeah, well, and he's also written in several
right.
times before.
He's from
in
Toronto,
name. Right? They do are play they football
more,
in Canada. Though.
Are they more welcoming to homosexuality in north of the border?
Don't know.
I thought you were a bon vivant. I don't even know what that is, but I've heard it said about
you. Good living, good living is what it means, literally. One who likes
I thought
to live
it meant
life
about traveling
well.
Or something.
No,
I'm bon, a
vivant
bon vivant
means you live life well.
Oh, I'm a bon vivant.
Not exactly.
Paul's a bon vivant.
Not really.
I live life well.
Yeah, but it has a little bit of a
oh, I'm not pompous enough to be a bon vivant?
No.
I enjoy the hell out of my life. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah, there's Bill Belichick's statement of Michael
it's
Sam
a certain
on
life.
Network.
It's a certain lifestyle.
Oh.
Like, it's...
Yeah, you're right. I'm not a bon vivant. You are.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Is Taz a bon vivant? I think he said that in the first sentence.
You know what else I wanted to ask you
not
about?
That kind of lifestyle. Although you could have that kind of lifestyle.
Nothing wrong with that lifestyle.
Right.
Some of my best friends have that lifestyle.
No?
I go to WNBA games.
Easy Aussie.
Nate from SoCal wrote in right before the show, but says, was writing to Fred here, you are often interested in feedback from the fans about topics. This
not
is just
yours.
My preference, but I'm not at all interested in spending an entire show on Michael Sam. I could care less what is sexual orientation, skin color, political view, favorite Star Wars character, or favorite flavor of ice cream. I'm interested in this contribution on the football field.
I Having love these people that live in this little, like,
what does he offer to
ideology.
The football field?
You know what? Aaron Hernandez was fine on the football field, so do you not care about what he does off the football field? He murders people. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Like, you do care. Like, there's a level. Like, whatever it is, good or bad. Tim Tebow and his Bible thumping. You care. You have some reaction to it. You either like it, you dislike it. So don't pretend
it's
that
also
it,
part of
it
that
only matters what happens between the white lines.
It also is part of that person's story.
Right.
We're in the business
of
telling
of
stories.
Yeah, it's part of your team chemistry. You have 53 guys. And if 48 are okay with it, but 5 of them that really matter and are like leaders in the locker room have a problem, then you have a problem as a team.
Yeah, I'm only interested in this because it's the first, not because of what it is. The difference between Hernandez and this is I'm not only interested in what goes on between the lines for a guy who's allegedly killing people. I am only interested in what's going on the lines because I don't care what the guy's personal life is and as long as he's not hurting anybody and breaking any laws. I don't care if he loves a man or a woman. It doesn't matter to me. But this, I recognize this particular thing. Michael Sam is a big deal because, as Andy said right off the top, it's the first openly gay player to enter the National Football League. That, to me, is a big deal. I don't really care about doing shows and talking about this for a long time. I know, I understand the gravity of it right now and what we're in, but I kind of agree with the emailer. It's not, I don't only care about what happens on the field, like he's saying.
Well, no one does. Because everybody gets up in arms that Gronk is out partying. That's not on the field.
Yeah.
That may or may not affect him. What is it doing?
Yeah.
How dedicated?
There's levels of
people
that.
People care about stuff. You know, people got pissy with Brady when he was feeding grapes to Giselle. And, you know, people care about that stuff, whether they want to or not.
But down the road, I don't think, you know, like these, you know, ridiculously closed-minded and ignorant anonymous GMs talking about 10 years from now, maybe we could do it. You know, like, I don't know what kind of groundwork you're setting in the social scene,
right.
You know, anonymous GM guy,
yeah.
You know, that's going to make it so much better in 10 years. You know what that translates to me?
I'll be gone.
I won't be around to deal with it.
Right.
I won't be around to deal with it. I'll let it be somebody else's problem. Maybe I did care about it a little bit more than I thought, Andy.
Well, I also disagree with you a little bit because I think it's going to be an issue for, it's not just the first, it's the second.
No, I'm saying for me. That's the only reason why it's of any interest to me.
But it's going to be an issue for a long time in various ways, on various teams, on, you know, just so many jokes, so many, you know, some of it'll be jokes, some of it won't, you know, the dynamic in the locker room, what can you say, what can you not say, because he's this, he's that, you know, the example, again. Go back to Tim Tebow, because he is a strong polarizing figure in a different way.
Yep.
But the story of Moose saying, Jesus Christ, and then realizing he was next to Tim Tebow.
Right.
Well, if you say, you know, stop being such a fairy, and then you look up and you, ooh, I'm standing right next
to
Michael. Like, these things happen, and it's going to be a while until they sort of play themselves all out.
Do you think there's a chance that Michael Sam could go and say, listen, I've heard every one of those words, they don't bother me?
Yes.
And that it could be okay?
Yeah. Yes.
Because I, like, that's another part of it. That's
I think
whole
he
rant.
Could come out and, you know, early in the year, Danny Amendola goes across the middle and just like he didn't catch it in the AFC title game and Michael Sam goes, oh, and I'm supposed to be around here or something, like makes some, and everybody goes,
yeah.
It's like awkward for,
are you supposed to laugh?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I think, by the way, he needs to do some of that
I'll
stuff.
I'll bet anything. I'll bet anything that is what happened in the Missouri locker room.
Right. Oh, and I'm the
for him to be as universally welcomed as he was. It is a funny way of looking at it too, because, you know, and I know that I'm the naive, sort of ignorant to all this stuff. To me, it's the actions. Like, I've had more people that have told me everything that I wanted to hear that I knew for a fact was stabbing me in the back. The words aren't what bothers me.
Right.
It's the actions that bother me.
Right.
So I don't care that you call me names.
Fat.
You know, that's not equivalent to a homosexual.
No, I know.
You know what I mean? So that is what I was thinking, but it's not the same thing.
Right.
But if I were gay, it wouldn't bother me that someone called me a name. It would bother me if they hated me because I was a homosexual. And you know the difference.
Of course.
You know the difference between a guy who really doesn't like you and a guy who's just calling you names and having fun, being Andy and just poking fun.
It's still going to be a feeling out. And
absolutely.
Kind of,
I'm not going to be that first guy in the locker room that says, hey, we got the princess here at linebacker. No. And I mean, you're not going to do it.
Right. We have one more question I want to throw out before
we're going to take a quick break here in a sec.
Is there such a thing as gay rape? I mean, I know there would be, but like,
I would imagine,
but I've never really heard of a case of gay rape. Have you?
No, I can't think of
one. I can't either.
I can't think of one.
And I just, another thing that, as you think about these things and
are you talking about outside of like prison,
where does the trainer for the Niners fall with the Ted Washington situation?
Yeah, yeah. But that was faux. It was faux rape.
It's an assault, brother.
No, I just, I've never heard of a case.
Yeah,
really,
like a relationship gone bad or
an accuser or even a
stalker,
a drugging or anything.
Yeah.
Like, you never really hear of those.
No.
Although I guess pedophiles are gay rape.
No, but you're talking about,
I was
adults.
Thinking like adult to adult. Adults
to
like,
adult.
You know, the
right.
creep who's waiting for the girl jogging jumps out and rapes her or whatever. Does that ever happen in the
it
gay?
It must, right?
I would assume.
But you're right. I don't think you don't really hear that publicized.
Right.
unless somebody has and we're just not thinking of it. But before we go to a break, quick
important
email.
Important issues or not, Paul's food is here. He's moving on.
Quick email. Robin in Alaska says, Belichick saying exactly what he says for every other player is what you want to hear. Belichick made more of a statement than you're giving him credit for. It just doesn't matter.
No, I think what he should have done is not made a statement because he wouldn't have made a statement about another player.
True. The fact that he made a statement about a player at all
is outside
at this
the
point
norm.
Is outside the norm, which is why we think it's a
which
little...
Which is why he's continuing his strange offseason of making statements about other players that he wouldn't normally talk about, like Wes Welker and Michael Sam.
Exactly. Marcus in Miami, hang on that line. We have some lines open for you at 508-298-0398. 855-PATS-500. Keep sending your emails in to webradiopatriots.com. Lunch has arrived, and we'll be back in a minute or so.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Heard of growing up Gronk, But now comes the tell-all book of the Perillo family.
We were going to go drink. I might not have any use the rest of the day.
From the storied authors of Northeastern Football, An Extinct Dynasty, and The Best Places to Drink Diet Pepsi in Everett, comes Growing Up Perillo.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
Be there through Northeastern Husky glory.
It was a very big night in Northeastern sports. I won't go into the details because I won't bore you. 1982, my father was at the Garden for the hockey championships that Northeastern won, and I'm home watching them play in the first round of the NCAA basketball, which they won. And my brother got out.
Paul, you cover the basketball. We'll take the hockey.
No, my brother went out and got arrested that night. So my mother had to do all of the stuff. She had to go down and get him, and they had to get the car from a tow lot. My mother was unbelievably incensed. So I know I got about 30 seconds to celebrate with my father when he comes home before all hell's going to break loose. So I come running out of my
little
room.
Little angel, right?
And I'm jumping up and down, high-fiving right. my father, and I go, all right, got to go. Right. And I ran back in the room.
Rich.
And all you heard was, it was like Joe Pesci, and just once I wanted to be big. Pow, bing, boom.
You've disgraced the Perillo family, not to mention the whole Husky community.
Treasured father-son time.
My brother was going back and forth with my father, and it was one of those, you know, open your mouth one more time, and I'm going to let you have it. My brother was actually in the shower, and he didn't think my father could see him, and he just opened his mouth. My father laid him out through the shower curtain. One shot, right in the jaw, went down. As my brother tells the story, I'm lying nude in the jaw. Classic.
And other fond memories of the Perillo boys.
You know, my grandmother used to live with us when we, you know, when right. she was still alive. She used to, all of a sudden, she'd have these attacks of conscience. She'd be like the old Italian grandmother, you know, had to be all worried. And my brother was in trouble for something. My father was all over him, and he hit him. And she got all nervous, and she calls up Aunt Carmella. You know Aunt Carmella right, from sure. Famous Stories. They're sisters. So she calls up, she goes, oh, Allie's beating the living out of him, but I'll tell you, he deserved it, though.
Growing Up Perillo, flying off bookshelves everywhere. Order yours now by calling 855-PATS-500 or placing your order via email to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to PFW in progress.
Underrated quality. You can spin a pretty good yarn there, Paulie.
You did see that I was finishing up, right?
Yeah, I did. That's why I wanted to.
I tried to play the longest classics. Bumper I could so that he had time to finish. It worked out pretty good.
It did. It worked out well.
Well, I haven't had a chance to partake in a cookie yet, but that's okay.
They're not done being cooked, though.
I did have a potential for an update
from last night.
Another installment last night.
Yeah.
Now, it may have taken 45 years, and the fact that I was actually with my 9-year-old son coming out of the garden from the bean pot, but I feel like I've grown a little bit.
Yeah.
We're walking across Causeway Street, and, you know, of course, here come three or four BC fans.
Yeah. Students, probably.
You know, and they were being happy, which is, you know, understandable. It's an exciting win. Probably drunk, and they got their arms over their head. They're walking down the street, which is fine. Again, you're celebrating the win.
Were you decked in Northeastern garb?
No, I had a red Northeastern shirt on, and my son had his black Northeastern pullover on. So they come right up in our face. There's five of us because I have my niece and nephew with me and my brother and I. And they're right up. And the hands are over the head and mm-hmm. they're screaming and they get right up in our face.
Oh, boy.
We never lose. And they're like, whoopee, say that. I just kept going, kept walking. I looked at Rich. I said, I feel like I've grown. I said, 20 years ago, you would have had to take me off that.
That's right. You still would have been beating him until he stopped breathing, right?
Yeah, I had a flashback to New Orleans.
Yeah.
I wasn't anywhere near as upset last night as I was in New Orleans, but I just, you know.
No, that's
like
that's a.
I didn't even say anything. Normally I would have had a crack there.
Yep.
Just let it go. I was
Was
proud,
the fact that you had the youngsters in tow big a part
of it.
Factor?
Big part of it. Not gonna lie.
Or just you and Rich, maybe things would have turned out differently.
Just Rich and I. Maybe I would have told him to, you know, go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. I didn't.
The Perillo boys beating up college age kids too.
At least when Gronk goes out with college kids, he's happy.
There were no fisticuffs.
Paul fights them.
It was funny though. We had because I don't. Because the bean pot always falls the Monday after the Super Bowl, the first round of the bean pot, I don't always get tickets anymore because I never know if we're going to be coming back from the Super Bowl. And obviously, if I'm gone for 8 days, I'm not going to just say, well, you know, hon, I'm home, but I'm going to the bean pot tonight.
Yeah.
So I don't always get tickets anymore. And as a result, I didn't have tickets this year. And then they won the first round, and my son Will really wanted to go to the final, so I called in a favor, ended up getting tickets, but the best I could get, you know, being that late, was I had to sit up in the balcony, you know, with the students. That was a little bit of an experience, sitting with all the Northeastern students, you know, clearly one of, I would say, 10 out of a group of, how many sections?
There were a lot.
A lot of Northeastern.
There were way more Northeastern fans in general, I think.
But even upstairs, Kevin, because Kevin was there, but, you know, Kevin was in.
I was in the suite.
He was in a luxury suite.
I wasn't with the unwashed upstairs, you know.
And I would say there's probably 10 people roughly my age in the balcony out of
It's all
a couple
students.
Of thousand.
Yeah.
Did you get recognized at all?
Yeah. Yeah. I put my head down in shame.
they were impressive, though. They were real loud.
I got asked what I was doing up here and why am I not in the good seats? And then it was just some guy that happened to recognize me from Comcast. And so he walks by, and Rich goes, "Who was that?" I go, "I don't know." It's just like these random people. But he was questioning as to why I couldn't do
why
better.
Why you weren't doing it
for my seats?
That section, they're the dog pound, right? In Matthews, they're called like the dog pound,
dog house.
But that section of kids was very impressive last night. Way more active than the BC section.
Yeah, and I only
close
saw
game for,
and I only saw the cops take
two
out
and a half quarters
periods, a couple of them.
So if you were near that. They were kind of in.
I was
one
right
of the,
in that corner, right where the band was.
So I was.
I was about two sections over to the corner.
I was directly. I was directly beneath you, maybe three sections more toward mid ice. Like, right, so I had to like stick my head out and look up.
We got to see every goal down our end, though.
Yeah,
it was all good. The goals were scored in our end.
It was good.
Unfortunately,
a lot at the
four
end.
Four out of the five. Oh, yeah,
a lot at the end down in that end. Unfortunately.
All right, let's get back on the phones here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Marcus in Miami. Is on. What's up, Marcus?
Hey guys, what's going on?
How you doing?
What's up, Marcus?
Good. Hey, Paul, you there?
He is. He's just going to grab a cookie.
I am.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, man. It's good that you grew up, man. You know, I felt the same situation. Actually, every time I go to a Miami Dolphins Patriots game and we win, it's like for the first time I went. I think it was Patrick Chung. I was with his sister. And his family, they had that one game where he had two touchdowns where he blocked the punt.
Oh, yeah, Monday night game.
Yeah. And Brandon Tate ran it back. When I got back to my seat, you know, I think we were, up by like a little bit. Then, you know, Brandon Tate ran that kickoff return and we started blowing him out. I had this guy, this Dolphins fan, he was about two, three seats down from me. He spat up me. And this is why I love Patriots fans. I mean, before I could even react, two or three Patriots fans from like, two seats down underneath me, grabbed me. It's like, Marcus, don't worry about it. They start, you know, wrestling with the guy and whatever, and they end up kicking the guy out. So, I mean, and my girlfriend, he spat at my girlfriend. I mean, hit me. He hit my girl. So, you know, I had to keep myself calm because my reaction was, you know, go down there about two, three steps and knock Buddy out. But, I mean, I guess you and I both grown up over the last couple of times, Paul, because they can be real harsh. Other than that, I just think the whole situation with the Michael Sam guy, it is what it is. I mean, if he gets drafted, I mean, you know, you guys were just talking about the Redskins player who was, you know, in the closet. You know, he was gay, but he did have his whole professional career in the NFL, and no one really made a big deal about it until, what, two, 3 weeks ago until we heard his story on NFL.com or whatever. But, I mean, I think Michael Sam, you know, I mean, hopefully he has a career in the NFL. I was on South Beach just yesterday. Colin Kaepernick and Josh Gordon were down there, and they didn't really have anything to say about it. Like, if they can play football, I mean, if he can play football, then, you know, let him play. And those are two stars, Josh Gordon and Colin Kaepernick. I mean, I just think that if this guy can come in for any team, not just, you know, our team if we draft him, any team that, let him play. Mm-hmm. Because his sexual orientation is a little bit different. I mean, it's, you know, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement there. I mean, if the guy can play and you draft him, then fine. He can play. I mean, I think people are more concerned, at least up here, I think, with how he would fit into this scheme. And that's how I think any fan of any team should think of any player that gets drafted. You know, how well does he fit into the scheme? Obviously, you want to know about the guy as a person, too.
Right.
But, I mean, you'd much rather have... You know, you'd much rather have a guy like him who, than someone who has like a criminal background.
But yeah, I have a question for you. What if you found out the best player on your team was a raging homophobe?
And wonder about the dynamic between the two of them?
Like, I'm bringing in Michael Sam and Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski or Vince Wilfork, whatever.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to work. I mean, is that a consideration? Is it not fair to be a consideration? It has to be, right?
I mean, I think it should be a consideration, but if you really think the player is going to be a difference maker for your team, I think you draft him, and then maybe you go to that other player, that other superstar, and say, look, we understand what your feelings are on the topic in general, but this guy is here to help our team. He's a colleague now. He's a coworker. We expect you to treat him with the same respect you treat everybody else.
I agree, but I just also think that's, you know, easier said than done.
Might be, but I think it's something that has to be done. If you really think the player that you're drafting is worth it, I think that's what you have to do.
Well, I have a question. Wasn't he, like, highly – I mean, I've always known the whole year that Missouri had, like, two really good defensive ends. Was he the other – defensive end that everyone was talking about?
He is the other guy. There's another one that's more highly thought of than him, but he was actually more productive.
It was him, right?
Yeah, there's the other one is a second or a first round pick, I think.
Yeah, Coney Ealy?
Yeah.
Doesn't he have like a motor issue? He doesn't play hard all the time?
Who?
Who, the Ealy guy?
The good one? Yeah. Yeah. All the good ones do.
Okay.
I've been lusting for years for a pass rusher who took plays off because he's that damn good.
Like a Randy Moss type defensive
end. Julius Peppers?
Yeah.
One last question.
I wasn't
guys.
Suggesting you didn't take them.
One last question.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Looking forward to the draft. I know we've had our ups and downs this year, guys. I mean, I've pretty much gotten to talk to you guys almost every week when I was in Atlanta, when we beat the crap out of the Falcons and Vince went down. And, you know, the whole year, it kind of went really quick. Now that we've got that Hernandez thing out of our system, you know, hopefully we'll recoup some money. Do you think we double dip in a tight end like we did a few years ago? I mean, Gronkowski. He should be the cherry that's on top of the icing that's on top of the cake. If we can put him out there, I mean, that's perfect. You know, do you honestly think that we double dip in a draft this year like we did when we got Gronk and Hernandez?
Draft two tight ends, you mean? To draft?
Yeah, I mean,
could, but doubtful.
And who, man? I mean, is that who you, I mean, we only, what was the point that we only threw him through that position 14 times this year with two touchdowns?
I think the double dipping was something that kind of fell in their lap a little bit. I'm not sure they went in thinking we're going to draft two tight ends.
I agree.
I think they saw it. They said, we're going to draft a tight end. Let's take the best one we can. They got Gronk. And then as things unfolded, they said, you know what? But there's also Hernandez.
And too much value.
Really good. And yeah, in the fourth round, we'll take him. I could see them going in this
killer
year.
Killer value.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and they pulled the trigger and they made it, right? Yeah, they had a way to go.
That's just poor to me.
But I could see they're going into this draft saying we need a tight end and we'll take the best one we can get when we feel like that's where we want to draft a tight end.
Because I do think they
but
have
I don't think
needs.
Two of them.
I mean, yeah, I would be
it's
really
not like tight end or bust. We that's all we need.
Also,
I'd be
Marcus,
really surprised
also,
if they took two tight ends.
Also, well,
like Americo or the Austin Jeffrey guy, who I heard is not. He doesn't have like his head's not in the game. Like. If we trade out that first round pick, which we've pretty much done every year except for when Donta and Chandler are here, we trade out the first round. I mean, 29th, come on, guys. We do our shopping in the second and third round. Everybody knows that. I mean, look at all the picks that we picked up besides what McCourty and Mayo the last 2 years that are starters.
It's true.
We do our shopping in the second and third round. We trade out that first round pick or trade back.
And it never works.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, or I don't know. I just, the season is too quick, man. And, I don't really feel that bad because we couldn't put the best product out on the field. We were too hurt, but that's no excuse going forward, man. I mean, I think we can do what we need to do this year. Great talking to you guys. I'll listen to the rest of the show. Have a great day, guys.
See you, Marcus. All right, Marcus. Thanks for the call. Good stuff. And we should mention with the draft, they have 7 picks right now, but they don't have a 5th rounder at the moment. They have 2 sixes, which gives them the 7 overall. And I saw a report today, somebody was projecting compensatory picks, and I forgot who it was, but they did their homework and said that the Patriots are due to get 1 for the loss of Patrick Chung in the previous offseason because the value of the guys that they got is greater than the ones that they lost.
He started for Philly, right, for the most part?
Yes, yes. So they think that we'll get at least...
Which hurt a lot, wasn't it?
I don't know. Probably.
So that could give them an 8th pick, and that would be
yeah, I know most of the guys they signed had been released, so they don't require compensation. I think Amendola might be the only one that
Amendola and Welker are going to wipe each other out, basically.
Yeah.
So you're not going to, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you let Welker go, you're going to get a third-round pick. No, because you signed him.
And we won't know that for another month because that's during the owner's meeting at the end of March is usually when we find out the compensatory picks. But
like a lot of the guys they signed.
They could have eight by the time the draft rolls around.
Adrian Wilson, Leon Washington, I think Tommy Kelly, too, had been released. I know Wilson and Washington had been released. So those guys, even though they're technically free agents, they're not in the same classification. They don't require compensation.
Okay. Back to the emails. Bill's statement is getting a lot of run here from people. Nick writes in, doesn't say where. Guys, you're talking about Bill's statement, and you're right about the fact that he's one of the few coaches to make one. However, I heard on the radio that a number of GMs made a statement, so it makes sense that Bill wouldn't want to be the one guy who didn't come out with a statement, especially with the anonymous source saying that they wouldn't draft Sam because of this.
But he's not even close.
But also, when has Bill ever been a guy who cares about what everybody else is saying?
No one.
He never talks about anything.
Plus, I don't think
a lot of... Paul lobbed him a softball talking about, you know, coaches being ill and having health issues.
Right.
And he, like, bristled at it.
Yeah.
It was literally, Bill, why don't you take this opportunity? I'm going to give you the platform here. And he kicked you in the face.
Which only became more humorous a month or so later to learn how close Bill and John Fox were. Because I didn't realize they were that friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he wasn't even close to going to be the only one who didn't release a statement.
No, there weren't that many statements released around the league.
No.
I know you had mentioned Tish with the Giants.
Tish
and I know
Kraft.
That Mike McCarthy with Green Bay.
Elway, I just saw one.
There haven't been a ton of GMs that have commented publicly. Eric read, or at least
read
alluded to a lot of off the record or, you know, anonymous quotes. That were, that were coming from, I would say, presumably current GMs and owner types, but not on the record. To me, there's a big difference.
Yeah, the
when you don't attach a name to it. That's a big difference.
I was reading a Steve Buckley column this morning in which he was citing Pete Thamel of Sports Illustrated, who had done his homework, picked up the phone, called a number of front office types around the league, and was getting reaction from them. And one of the reactions he got from one of those anonymous ones was what we talked about before, about this being still being a man's man game and that it could take another generation before it's accepted. I mean, that I would really love to know who that is and what team that was. Really would.
He would obviously prefer you didn't.
Yeah.
Nick Caserio from the Patriots. Now what are you going to do?
Yeah. I would just be interested to know.
Yeah. I'm kind of with Andy, and I know it sounds silly. I think those kinds of things are really overblown. I don't think that they really think as strongly as I think when you don't attach your name to it, you put on the muscles and you say you make it way stronger than it really is. Like I just
then if you don't have that strong a feeling about it, don't say anything.
Well, I had a question too. Shad Khan, is that his name?
The guy from the Jacksonville Jaguars, the owner?
Yeah, is he Muslim or
I don't know.
Now would that religion have problems with it? Because we've been talking about the strict Bible-toting Southern...
Mm-hmm. Let's face it. I mean, any religion you could make it out to be, you could have a problem with it.
But I don't know how strict he is in his beliefs and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, that's the question. Because, I mean, there are people who believe what I believe for religion who feel totally differently about homosexuality than I do.
Sure.
And we generally have the same core faith of God. I don't know. I just don't understand what... Well, anyway, I guess that's...
Gase is your favorite offensive coordinator.
It's a different. I love Boyce too, but it's a different show, different topic for a different show. It's something I really can't comprehend.
Liam from Kent.
Never get tired of that Erin Andrews face when Richard Sherman starts yelling and she just
does a little head thing, the little like nod.
Liam from Kent in the UK.
About you.
Liam from Kent in the UK writes in, "Hey guys,
don't get short with us."
I'm only 5'7". I have no choice.
Don't lose patience over there.
I have to give you the Fred.
Did you hear about Eric's new charity?
What was it?
Your support.
No, that's not what I'm calling it.
.org.
Somebody tweeted it.
That's what some jerk tweeted to Andy. He didn't tweet it to me because he'd have been blocked by now.
And he didn't tweet it to Mike Sam. What
are you down to for followers now? Like 100? You just block everybody else. He had 10,000 at one point.
No. I got enough. But also,
I got enough.
I do want to thank the people who have responded seriously about my
I think this guy was serious.
No, I don't think he was. But there have been a number of people. There have been a number of people who have responded and offered their support and services to help me make this happen. So I'm very appreciative of that and have already gotten the ball rolling.
It's a better acronym than ASPCA or whatever, or PETA.
No, it's not.
It really flows.
No. Anyway, Liam from Kent in the UK.
It's about happiness.
Guys, haven't emailed since I moved to the UK from Ireland over a year ago. The reason I'm emailing relates to this topic about Michael Sam. I'm of the opinion that this is a great thing to happen for the NFL. If you examine what's happened in English football, especially the example of the German international Thomas Hitzelberger, a majority of fans reacted quite positively to his decision to come out. Some narrow-minded fans and players will never come to terms with Sam's sexuality, and that's fine. But their beliefs or opinions shouldn't be taken as fact. That gays aren't real men or their sexuality is immoral. We're living in the 21st century. Keep up the good work. And that's Liam
from
Kent in
the
UK. Well, I didn't want to, you know.
That's a good email.
Yeah, I mean, if you can be gay in dealing with hooligans and get by it and advance from it.
You don't think there are gay hooligans?
No. I'm saying if you can survive playing soccer.
I almost got you off track.
He did.
That's what you do to me all the time.
Right.
Then I think we'll get by it with American fans. I mean, it's quite a step down. Even the black hole, as we were sort of joking about off the air, is a step down from the hooligans of
I have a question for you guys. And, you know, a lot of the topic for this is not necessarily football, but locker room.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of impact will it have in the locker room? Can it be a distraction? Will teams say, I don't want to sign up for that? It's one thing if I have a gay guy on my team
who doesn't make waves or doesn't come out and say,
for example, Chris Cluey has been a very outspoken gay rights activist. He got released from Minnesota. Now all of a sudden he's putting up a big stink saying the special teams coach used all kinds of slurs. The NFL is having all these meetings with him. In retrospect, I'll bet Minnesota wishes they never had Chris Cluey on their team.
Right. I think most teams do not want outspoken players about anything.
Right. Right.
Yeah, they just want you to show up, do your job.
My question is this.
Do your job.
Do you believe, what would you say the definition of a distraction would be for an NFL team?
Something I spend time thinking about other than doing my job.
Okay, do you think that affects your one loss record? Do you think distractions? I personally think
for
distractions
who?
Are a convenient excuse for losing.
They are.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, like a lot
but
of
they
people
can
say,
also
like,
snowball.
I don't want because I think that the Tim Tebow thing, like everybody says, look what they did with Tim Tebow at the Patriots, this summer. I think Tim Tebow was a big time distraction. I think that it was constantly talked about. I think he was the most talked about third string quarterback that you'll ever see.
But not internally.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, make the juxtaposition to the Jets, where you had players saying, who was it? Somebody was the second best quarterback on the team, and he wasn't a quarterback. You know, they were basically ripping Tebow in the papers and ripping the whole circus.
Yeah.
That's a distraction.
I know. I don't think that costs
them wins.
Just
because we talk about
point.
It isn't a distraction.
Right.
If players are talking about it and are actively participating in the distraction, it's a distraction.
If there's a rift in the locker room, I get what you're saying.
And clearly in the Jets locker room, there were a number
there was a
of
rift.
Rifts. It wasn't just
sure.
the Tebow rift.
There
they
were
had
Fishers all over
there were people in the Patriots locker room that felt like that about Tebow. They
right,
didn't
but
say
it doesn't become
to us.
And it doesn't become a distraction. A distraction is when it fuels itself and kind of grows and snowballs and repeats.
But my there was point also, is, I don't think that because that happens means you lose.
No.
You know, and a lot of people
but I think
up
a lot of teams that lose
and,
have those and, types of things. It's kind of a reverse.
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at. Is it a chicken, you know, chicken or the egg thing?
Yes.
Like I think that
I think
say
guys
that I don't want
Seattle
I don't want that,
that
distraction because it's going to hurt us and
well
I don't think it's going to.
But see Paul, I think part of the reason it was a distraction or could have been a distraction for the Jets was because they didn't have a viable starting quarterback.
No, forget the Tebow thing. I'm just going like distractions in general.
Right, but I'm saying
like do they affect the one loss record? I don't think they do. I agree with you that
but they might.
Bad teams get mucked down into distraction.
Right, but it's also
because
the opposite
it's a convenient excuse.
Do not talking to reporters like the Patriots do help, you know, bring victories?
No.
But is there some underlying factor that they believe it does? You know, it's you don't know. It's all sort of on the fringe of whether it matters or not.
Right,
it's and like both ends.
A lot of people talked about the incognito Jonathan Martin thing. You know, look at that distraction. Look what happened. You know, but they went 4-4 before that. They went 4-4 after that. So it's very convenient to sit there and say, "Oh, Miami, look what happens when the locker room can get divided."
Actually, Miami played pretty well immediately after that.
They're all talking about it, right? They're all talking about the distraction. Look at that. It derailed their season. Well, no, it didn't. They're an 8-8 team. They went 4-4 without it, and they went 4-4 with it.
And plus, if when reporters are in the locker room for that 45 minutes that we get, they're going to ask players questions. I mean, it just because you're talking about one topic doesn't, to me, make that topic the distraction. You have to you have to sit there
and talk
for 45 minutes anyway.
Right.
Well, you don't. But
no, but I mean,
we've proven that around here.
Well, yeah, unfortunately.
But I mean, or 3 minutes, depending on when the meeting is.
Ostensibly, when you're in the locker room and you know the media is there, you're there pretty much saying, I'm here to talk. And if you're there, you're going to talk about whatever's being asked. You know, if you don't want to talk about it, you say, I'm not going to talk about that particular subject. I think it only becomes a distraction when the team or the coaches have to take time out of the day and say, look, we're going to address a topic today that we normally don't do. And that is when it becomes a distraction. When it's taking away from your everyday preparation, mm-hmm. then I think it legitimately is. But I think you're right in that it gets thrown about as
excuse. The word distraction gets used a lot more than an actual distraction impacts an NFL locker room.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's probably
Well, all that stuff does, though. It's all cliche, and it's like when, you know, John Lester showed so much courage coming back from cancer. Well, what was he going to do? Crawl in a hole and die? Like, he wasn't going to try to live and continue his life? Like, he overcame cancer, and that's great, but I think everybody would have tried to overcome cancer, some successfully, some not so
successfully. Particularly young guys.
Right.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. There's so many cliches
like
in sports that are just thrown around because they're easy. I have a question, too, on another level. Like, if you're an announcer, do you have to think about how you talk about Michael Sam any differently?
You know, sacked by Sam, the gay linebacker?
Well, no. What I was actually thinking about, we have
Wouldn't that be funny?
We have a female in this building who takes offense to the term penetration on defense. And penetrating this, and you know, is he a penetrating pass rusher?
Are you going to try to use that word as many times as you can?
Yeah, we do.
Does that mean you're going to try to use that word as many times as you can?
Tall drink of water.
Oh, okay.
Like if you're John, I mean, this guy, he likes to penetrate. I mean, no, I didn't mean to say it like that, John. You know, like, do you have to think about those things?
I would hope.
Post 9/11, you weren't allowed to say bombs.
I would hope not. I would hope you don't have to think about those things. If, you know, like I said, you know when you're being disrespectful. And to call somebody a penetrating linebacker is not being disrespectful, right?
Sure.
So I would hope not. I would hope you wouldn't have to worry about
this guy's a penetrator. This guy likes to penetrate.
But then he would say, oh, I didn't mean it that way. Like, that would be right, bad. Now right. You're, I don't know.
Get all red.
Gonna read
That's what makes this to me interesting because it's the first time that it's open.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had guys that come out after they retire, but this is the first time it's open.
I wonder. Just occurred to me, like the fact that he is now openly gay. Some people will probably go out of their way to try to treat him nicer to show that they're okay with it.
Right. Oh, there's a lot of that.
Right, but.
Not Paul.
I wonder if
Paul's going to treat him like crap just to show he's just like everybody else.
Listen, is he Logan Mankins? Is he Richard Seymour? Is he Rob Ninkovich? Then it'd be great. You know, is he some of the other guys that maybe, you know, weren't as accommodating in the locker room? You know, Robbie Abdullah. Marcus Cannon. You know, some guys that don't, you know, aren't very nice to us.
Mm-hmm. I just hope it's funny if he comes here. Like, I'd like it to be funny, like we were talking about earlier. Like, he says something on the camp field that's funny, like the crowd, you know.
But I wonder.
He's got a bad hamstring. You say, how you doing, Michael? Super. Thanks for asking.
You think that would be funny?
Yes, I think right, it would be very funny. If he does it.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. But we've talked about.
Wait, you don't think that would be funny if he said, super. Thanks for asking.
We've talked about players who.
I think you're unbelievable.
Players who have been suspected as being gay, but weren't officially out there. And I wonder how they're treated by their teammates or by opponents even. Like do they get teased more about that aspect of themselves than they normally would because people have an assumption that they are, and maybe they're trying to get under that player's skin a little bit more.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
I think less.
You think less?
Yes.
Why?
Well, part of it is whether they're liked or disliked, first of all,
uh-huh.
because of other things.
Right.
If they're disliked, then maybe more. But if they are actually a embraced member of the football team, I think less, because I think people walk on eggshells thinking it's really true.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't think it was true, they'd be okay with it, but they think it's true. You know, like, Kerry Rhodes has apparently been blackballed for being gay. I mean, that seems to be the case on so many levels after those pictures with an assistant, and there were these guys coming out, and there's these stories written about, and teams that were going to sign him, and not, you know, I just wonder how he looks at this.
Mm.
Like, well, that guy's going to be drafted.
Right.
Because, no, like,
well, that's what I'm saying.
From afar, it looks like Kerry Rhodes should have played in the NFL last year, that he was still one of the best 1,800 players on the planet.
That's kind of my point.
Maybe.
See, I think he was. I've seen enough bad players play in this league to say Kerry Rhodes should be in the NFL.
Yeah,
and it would appear from afar he's
being
blackballed.
But if you had a bad player in his third year as opposed to a bad player in his 10th year, who would you take?
I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's a competitive player.
No, you're saying that you've seen enough bad players. That's the only reason why I use that word. I mean, let's face it, he's a fringe player at this point.
But I think fringe towards
now. Certainly, if he was at the beginning of his career, he wouldn't be blackballed.
I don't know.
So do you think this guy's going to get blackballed then?
So I don't know.
Would have been a better option to sign him than Adrian Wilson.
You think that? Wait a minute. You think there's
probably?
At the same similar point in their careers, and
you think there's a chance that Michael Sam could get blackballed?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think there's a chance.
When I see stupid statements from GMs like that guy, there's got
to
be a chance.
I think there is a chance. Hold water to me. They don't.
So you don't
unless
really
he put his
GM.
Name on it. No, well, I don't know who he is. But if they don't put their name on it, I don't really put much credence into it. I don't. I think people say stuff when they're, you know, shrouded with the cloak of secrecy that they wouldn't say normally.
Not on this show.
Hmm.
We say it like we think it. That's not always a good thing.
No, it is not.
I should do that. I should do that. I don't do that often enough.
Paul has admitted he's going to treat Michael Sam like crap.
I do not
be really nice to him. What is that going on?
That's not what I said. What?
Paul doesn't like when there's a lot of people treating other people nicely.
That's not what he said.
Fake. Fake nice. Because you do know that's going to happen, though.
Of course.
Eric is right about that. There'll be those guys that want to come across as the worldly.
To let everybody know that they're accepting.
Well, there's going to be a lot of stuff. Like, there's going to be a lot of people that'll write about him and be overly, he's so physical and aggressive.
And
you're only writing that because you want to fly in the face of
heroic.
The GM who's, this is a man's man and this guy's not a man.
He'll be heroic and brave for doing what he's, just like, pump the brakes and let's just evaluate and see what he is.
Right.
See how he is as an NFL player, you know?
You know, I'll give you my honest opinion.
I do.
This guy
within
sucks.
5 minutes.
Right.
You do know.
And then I'll giggle. I mean on the field.
Nobody was thinking that.
Save that one for rookie minicamp because I'm sure that you'll be breaking that one out.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to read Kevin Maine's email because he says, guys, I have the rare opportunity to listen to you live.
Well, lucky you. I hope you didn't want any Patriots talk.
Always a pleasure. Wanted to chime in about Belichick's comments about Michael Sam. I read it differently. I'm not a BB apologist. While he's such a genius in many areas,
I'm not a BB apologist. While he's such a genius.
in many areas, he says, he's still fallible. For example, I did not like his comments about Welker after the AFC Championship.
No one did.
No, not many people did at all. However, I was pleased to see that he made a statement about Michael Sam. I also think he was walking a thin line. By making a statement, he and the team showed support for the player. It would not surprise me if Kraft asked Bill to comment. One, because I can see Bob Kraft wanting to take the moral stance on this issue. Second, I think a coach's perspective is more valuable in this situation than an owner's. However, it really should be a non-issue. The fact that BB's statement was so matter-of-fact indicates to me that Bill's really saying this should be a non-issue, and whether or not a player is gay or not should not be part of the calculus of player evaluation. Regarding whether this is not like Bill, which the three of us have been saying, it has always seemed to me that Bill is loath to make any statement teams could use to their advantage against the Patriots. Anything is a crapshoot about whether Bill will comment or not. As always, love your work. Keep up the great work, and looking forward to the offseason because of PFW.
But it is a part of his evaluation. Everything is a part of a player's evaluation. Everything is a consideration.
Yep. That's why they ask all these questions.
Right, but, you know, what if he was a member of the Taliban? He just happened to be a great football player, but he also hated the infidel American. Mm. Like, That's a consideration. That's a problem.
That would matter.
His teammates are Americans. Mm-hmm. Like, everything as from any perspective, you have to consider. It's part of the overall package of a player. It's, you're right. It's why we get stupid questions. Do you like girls? Is your mother a prostitute? You know, whatever. Straight on down the line.
And a lot of those questions, I think, are asked to try to see if they can elicit a reaction and what type of reaction they'll get as a result of that.
Right.
Let's see how this player responds to over-the-top trash talk. You know, does he explode?
Right.
Does he lose his composure? Does he give a funny answer?
Right.
They want to see that
smart.
Kind of thing.
You're going to shove a fan if they say something to you. Well, we can't have that. That says something about your personality, your volatility. You know, it's important to know. Just like it's important to know if this guy is gay who is you're going to bring into your environment, it's equally as important if you can find it out if a guy hates gays, if he's a homophobe, and you're bringing that into your environment, or he hates Jews, or he hates Christians, or he hates... It's all a factor if you can find out the information.
Mike Reese agrees with us about the football side of Michael Sam, by the way. Rich Cimini just posted something on ESPN. Rich Cimini covers the Jets.
Yeah.
Not the NFC East. And he has sort of a forecast for every team, their chances of taking a shot at Michael Sam, low, medium, high.
Okay.
Pittsburgh, high.
The Patriots are listed as low, and Mike Reese writes the synopsis. The Patriots have generally not valued undersized defensive ends as highly in their system, seeking instead taller, longer end-of-the-line players. That makes me think Sam won't have as high of a pure football-based draft grade in their system as perhaps some other teams. That's Mike Reese's take, and that's exactly what the three of us were talking about earlier in the show. Our old buddy Mike Rodak, who now covers the Bills for ESPN.com, has the Bills listed as high because they could use a depth piece as a pass rusher, a situational role player as a pass rusher. So interesting there. I'm scrolling down to see Pittsburgh, Andy, to see if we are right about that. Ravens listed as medium.
Well, yeah,
because Steel is listed as medium, too.
No.
The Ravens will take anybody.
So the only
Ozzie, he doesn't like to be pigeonholed.
The only one in the whole league that was listed as high was Buffalo.
Hmm.
Probably about half and half, medium and low.
Interesting.
Maybe a few more lows.
And high
medium.
And high by you mean high probability, not high draft
chances
position.
Of drafting him. Low, medium, high.
Right.
Remember a week ago when being high, like marijuana, was the big story in the NFL?
Yeah.
Not anymore. We've moved on to gays.
That's why all these offseason shows.
Andy's trying his best in this last part of the show to see, you know, just want to make it like everybody else. Just want to talk about it. You know, now we're just talking about the gays.
No, but I do find all of this fascinating in that it's like it's almost like the real world is
it's a reflection
into the
of
NFL.
Society.
Right.
Yes, it really is.
And you know, I keep thinking of Fred. Like at some point, abortion is somehow going to become an NFL issue. And it's like we'll have everything then. Like bring it on in healthcare and like just make it all part of the
NFL. And it won't be the seventh comment. It'll be the top comment.
Correct. I did forget it.
Wow, well, you actually filtered yourself.
Well, I'm not going to forget the first comment or the second comment on the Pro Football Talk story about Mr. Kraft commenting on Michael Sam was somebody calling us the Gatriots if we took Michael Sam. So you know, it was the second comment. It's there.
Right.
It wasn't quite abortion, but we're still in that environment. That was the GM from the team that won't draft.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I love that NFL Network. Robert Kraft via the Boston Globe. And they have that quote. That quote was directly to Karen Garrigan of
the
Herald.
Boston Globe.
And the Boston Globe took it from the Herald.
Yeah.
So why
they do that all the time?
Do they have somebody there that's a Boston Globe?
I told you,
Globe?
Everybody's suck ups to the Globe.
Michelle in Stockholm, she loves it when Fred calls her Charlotta. Guys, I find it ridiculous/outrageous that an All-American first team co-defensive SEC player of the year might not be drafted at all because he's gay.
He was All-American first team?
It's not going to be because he's gay.
Wait, he was a first-team All-American?
I don't know. I don't know about the All-American. I know he was the co-defensive player.
No,
I know
that, but I have not seen the All-American team.
He's a little bit undersized. Like I saw someone, I wish I had sort of kept track of the different things that I read. Comparison to Elvis Dumervil. Very short, pass-rushing specialist.
Yeah.
Unbelievably productive in college. Fourth round.
Well, he wasn't unbelievably productive either.
No, I'm saying Dumervil was unbelievably productive. He was a fourth round pick.
That's where they all go.
Because they didn't know where he fit.
Where'd Lamar Woodley go? He was the same thing.
Woodley was a second-round pick, wasn't he?
Might have been a second.
Yeah. I'm just quickly looking up the AP All-America team. Defense. Certainly wasn't first team.
Wait, you're on second team.
There he is.
You scrolled past first team.
My bad. Yeah. There he is. Michael Sam.
I bet
he was.
Now, this is the real one?
Okay.
Which one is this? AP All-America first team?
Yeah, AP All-America.
Son of a bitch, he was.
Yeah, but listen, there is a litany of Heisman Trophy winners that went undrafted. College dominance does not always translate to high draft pick status. Forget about how good you are in the NFL. There are guys that had tremendously productive college careers that went in the middle and late rounds.
Oh, it happens all the time.
And undrafted.
When we do that agate page with all the All-American teams and you look at it and you're like, how come none of the good first-round picks are on any of these teams?
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
Like, does anybody think Michael Sam is going to be a better NFL player than Jadeveon Clowney? I mean, they're in the same conference. He should have been the SEC Defensive Player of the Year.
And, to go back to the thing that gets Andy so excited, you know, Jadeveon Clowney took the whole season off, and Andy likes that.
Exactly.
I don't have any problem with it, you know, at that guy's level. I know what he did last year, and he made sure that he stayed in one piece.
Michelle continues.
Right? Don't you think?
Yeah, sure.
I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
Now it's okay.
The NFL often talks about being a microcosm of society. Let's see if that holds true. I hope.
Well, football is like life.
It is. It's true.
You get knocked down, you got to get back up.
I hope he, as well as all the young men who enter the draft, will be measured on their talent and nothing else. In my book, he's shown a tremendous amount of character. And if he's the best player on the board when the Patriots pick, they'll pick him. And as we all know, it wouldn't be a distraction. Just look at the past season, from Tebow to Hernandez. Either way, the Patriots as an organization would be a great landing spot for him. Had a funny, she puts in quote, exchange with Wilma, who told me to buy a puppy. Clearly he's been hit one too many times in the head. Check.
Who's Wilma?
I don't know. And I don't see any. Oh, she sent a photo. I'll have to take a look at. Not going to do that now.
He doesn't even know how to do it.
No, I do. I just don't want to. I don't want to clog up the email system.
I think we all agree with Michelle's overall point.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully he'll be evaluated strictly on his ability, and where he fits will fall in line. I just hope he doesn't get, just as I hope he doesn't get blackballed and go undrafted because of this, I hope he doesn't get three extra chances because of this, too.
Whose lifestyle is a bigger concern? Michael Sam or Johnny Manziel?
Johnny Manziel.
Okay. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Nope. And I think they both are worthy concerns for a team in different ways, but you need to look at all the factors involved. See, I don't think you can just blatantly dismiss him being gay as a concern.
No, it's a very
small
concern.
Putting blinders
on
and not acknowledging,
I agree,
the real world.
Yeah, it's a very small concern for me, but it's a concern. You can't, I think you're right, the way you just put that. You can't put blinders on and ignore it. It is a concern. However big or small it is, you know, let other people judge that. But you can't just say it's no issue.
Right.
You can't.
We were mentioning earlier that Bill and Brady were at Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
Taking part in the Pro-Am this past weekend. Sean from Petaluma was actually there.
Hey, Sean.
Says, boys went to the Pebble Beach Pro-Am on Saturday. I live out here in the Bay Area. Tom and Bill played surprisingly well for guys who probably get to play just a handful of times a year. Tom even eagled a hole, although they both put their drives into the ocean on the famous 18th. Tom Brady Sr., who I've seen on the Brady 6 documentary, was right next to us in the crowd with Tom's mom. Linda Holiday was running around with her girlfriends following the group. She and Bill had a conversation not 2 feet from me. Interestingly, there were two guys in the group following quietly towards the back. One was wearing Patriot coach's rain garb and looked very familiar. I figured out halfway through it was Bears Najarian. I'm sure of it. Why the heck would he be there? Bill's PR, working on scouting stuff with Bill at night? Anyway, it was a beautiful stormy day out there. I'm no golfer, but it's a spectacular area. Hope you come out and see it sometime. Well,
he's Bill's right-hand man.
Yeah, and that's
Tom, by the way, is an extremely good golfer.
And could be really good if he golfed.
Yeah, and he plays probably more than you think he does.
Right.
But
they probably own a course on Costa Rica.
I don't know, you know, I don't know how much to take
My
Bill.
My husband cannot drive the ball and putt it too.
That's the whole point. You're supposed to.
I don't know how much to take Bill, how seriously to take Bill. Bill always is very self-deprecating when he talks about his golf game mm-hmm. and how bad he is. I've never really seen him play.
He doesn't look like his swing is.
Tom's swing looks similar to the pros.
Right. Well, because he's a long, lean athlete.
Yeah.
Bill is kind of a hunched over,
stocky
fire hydrant.
And I'm surprised that if Brady put his drive into the ocean on the 18th, he didn't throw his club in there as well afterwards.
He's a little bit competitive. Bitch.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
Paul might have done the same thing if he had done that.
I remember the time I got one caught in a tree.
And you threw the...
I had to throw another club up to knock the club down.
Berge is Bill's right-hand man.
Yeah, so
he travels
not...
a lot of places with him. I mean, he did interviews. They both sat down with CBS and different things. So there's, you could find a functional reason for it. Was Barkley? Barkley wasn't there, right?
I didn't watch any of it, so I don't know.
speaking of,
there's the video of,
not gifted. That's TB. TB12.
Yep. TB12, Pebble Beach.
You know, I heard a funny story. Not a story. I was leaving the gym down the street, other day, and they were talking about somebody, clearly a trainer talking to another trainer about somebody having a problem, and he's like flexing his shoulder, but yeah, he's got some tightening. I told him to head up to TB12 and get it worked on or whatever, so.
Really?
Apparently people are going to the TB12, not just like, you know.
Okay.
It's a growing business.
All right.
Thriving with our guy.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name again?
Alex.
Yeah. Guerrero. Right?
A.K.A. Don Yee.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that was his...
No, Alex Guerrero is his name.
I didn't know his last name.
Guerrero.
Oh, okay. You took Spanish in high school. Joel from Connecticut writes in, first of all, I'd like to thank Joel in Atlanta for ruining the name Joel on this show. Jerk. Secondly, the whole homosexual issue, if you ask me, is juvenile to say the least. As you guys mentioned, that won't stop extremists from being who they are, but I believe that at least here in New England, Mr. Sam would not be chastised like he would in more southern located teams. I also wanted to ask what you think we'll do with Brandon Spikes. Do you think we'll re-sign him, or would you even want to?
We have sources saying that he might go to the Cowboys.
Sources very close.
But I don't think he'll be back.
I don't either.
I think this will be a mutual departure.
Yes.
Remember how we used to always think he didn't really like it here anyway? He had, like, hell on earth he had on his Twitter thing, and he laughed it off. He didn't fit in. He's a non-conformist.
From the beginning.
And this is a place for conformists. How many non-conformists have fit in here? For an extended period.
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
I don't think he was a nonconformist when he started. I think his nonconformist cojones grew with his abilities and his production. And then he realized, I'm not just the restricted free agent or whatever, lowly. I can show my balls now.
Maybe, but he was around here for a while.
Yeah.
And he did like to give it back to Bill a little bit.
But most nonconformists are sent packing. And you have to be really elite to stay. Like, Richard Seymour, I think, was a nonconformist.
What about Gronk?
We'll see how that works out.
I mean,
And what is he?
A nonconformist.
He's also E-L-I-T-E.
Yes, he is.
Elite. The greatest tight end in the history of the game. You'd be a moron to kick him out because he plays a little beer pong.
Well, true.
Brandon Spikes and elite are far from it.
No, yeah, I think it's funny, too, because I think there's different ways of being a nonconformist, too. You know, I think that Spikes would like to sort of be one of those sort of irreverent kind of outspoken types, and I think he's stifled by that. Mm-hmm. Like Gronk, I don't think wants to talk.
No, he wants to party.
He wants to party.
He wants to motorboat a few girls.
And he does that when, you know.
Motorboat some girls?
Okay, we can move on now.
Who doesn't?
These things happen. You never know.
Jeff in Red Deer, Alberta.
Hey, Red Deer.
That's up in Canada. He's
the gay one.
Answering Andy's. No, that's Taz in Toronto. This is Alberta.
Oh.
He's answering your question, Andy, about gay people in Canada.
I thought Jeff was Taz.
Jeff is Taz. This is another Jeff.
Oh.
There's more than one Jeff in Canada.
Is this guy gay?
He doesn't say. But he says, hey, guys, just responding to Andy's question about how gay people are accepted in Canada, I live in what I consider to be the Texas of Canada, a bunch of rednecks with more oil money than they know what to do with, and for the most part, homosexuals are completely accepted here. Both the cities of Edmonton and Calgary are flying rainbow flags as a statement against Russia currently. Of course, there are always the close-minded, ignorant a-holes, but that is something that I don't think will ever change, unfortunately. And, Paul, you said you knew where Red Deer was as soon as...
No, I've heard of Red Deer.
You have
heard?
Okay.
Only because of my college hockey nonsense. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of college hockey
answer.
Players
yeah,
in New England from Canada.
Pretty accepting. Overall, even in what he considers to be maybe...
Are we pretty accepting in New England?
We're one of the most liberal parts of the country, so yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Wouldn't you?
I have no idea. I'm not gay.
No, but you've seen how
it,
those
like,
issues
I mean,
are
we're
treated.
So liberal, but Steve Buckley just came out 2 years ago.
Well, because it's still overall, it's still an issue that isn't.
Would Steve Buckley have come out sooner in San Francisco? Yes.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I think that might be more of an individual thing than a.
Yeah, but the environment plays a factor in that.
Sure.
Your fears, your comfort, your whatever.
Sure. I'll give you that. But, I mean, maybe he wouldn't have been comfortable anyway. I don't know.
No, he might not have been. It could have been just a point in his life, an age, mm-hmm. a maturity, whatever, that he reached. I don't know where I feel about us as a... I mean, I guess it is.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of different factors, too. Might Steve Buckley have come out earlier if he was in another line of work? Maybe
oh,
he
sure.
felt like it was going to be damaging to what he did for a living.
Sure.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't talked to Buck about it, so I don't know if he felt like that, but that
I mean,
certainly would make sense.
Not everybody's as open-minded as me.
I've often thought that.
I've been to gay weddings.
You have?
Yes. You have been to a gay wedding. You did tell me about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I did add an S to it. I Mike Florio'd that. Gay weddings. Been to one gay wedding. But I did, I had gay couple at my wedding. No. It would have been a bachelorette party, maybe?
The same gay couple at your wedding that you...
No, I had a different gay couple. I went to a lesbian wedding
okay.
and had a gay couple at my wedding.
Gay male couple?
Yes.
At your wedding.
And we ran into them at the grocery store recently. We didn't even know they lived in our area.
They went to your wedding, though?
Yeah, but they moved. We kind of drifted
oh,
apart.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you didn't know where they lived?
No, it was from one of my wife's
ex-employers,
and then they live in the area now.
Okay.
And it was so funny, too, because I didn't really recognize him, but I recognized him as the gay guy in the produce section. Like, he was so flamboyant, and he's got, like, a cell phone thing dangling in his ear, and he's like, he was the, God couldn't have been any gayer. And then
this guy
he's
was
like,
at his wedding.
Deidre! Like, it was like this, like, it was a
awkward moment for you?
No, not really. But it was very just like stereotypical or, you know, this is a sitcom. And
at what point did
you
recognize that it was someone who was at your wedding?
Once they started talking, I recognized. But at first, I just
really
saw that. Like, he was perfectly, like,
coiffed,
perfect haircut, everything. Yeah. He was the prototypical gay guy. It was funny. Just checking out the bananas. It was weird.
What, they can't have bananas now? Good Lord.
This is the open-minded guy.
Yeah, I am. I am completely open-minded. That's why it's perfect. I make fun of and joke about everything.
All right, we'll close this out. We'll close this out with a little game.
Except for that one thing you're not allowed to make fun of. What is it, Muhammad?
Well,
the Prophet Muhammad or something. Yeah. South Park wanted to show it, and you get killed. And that cartoonist did it. And
from Denmark.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't make fun of that one.
We'll end the
Maybe
show.
Maybe you shouldn't make fun of anything.
Well, that would be no fun.
We'll end the show with a game, courtesy of LT from Adelaide,
game?
Australia. G'day, men of PFW from scorching hot Adelaide. I have a quick
and
hypothetical.
My accents, this guy's going to get killed by Fred. That was terrible.
No, it's not.
That was terrible.
He's all mad.
That was terrible.
It was not terrible.
That was terrible Adelaidean.
I have. You're a little old ladyian. I have a quick hypothetical
I'd like
question.
Adelaidean, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get a menage a trois for years now.
We know what you were saying.
Everybody
the
always
news
does.
To explain it.
This has been a good show.
LT.
I think we have done a fine job talking about a serious topic with,
we usually
with general
do, actually.
Respect while sprinkling in some normal humor and to break the ice.
Those are some of our best shows, I think.
I do, too.
And Paul's now getting upset at the end because they're showing
it's just
Beanpot
an unbelievable
highlights.
Play. I'm like, you want to get mad for like losing on a play like
nah,
that.
Nah, I don't really care.
It's just an unbelievable
okay.
play.
Okay, LT, I have a quick hypothetical slash game for you guys. If you could add just one player to the roster from any other NFL team, just one player from any other NFL team, which would you choose and why?
That's easy.
And, follow-up question, would you rather choose an offensive or defensive player, and would the addition of this player have been enough for the Patriots to have won the past Super Bowl?
Defensive player.
Same guy I wanted to add to the roster about 3 years ago. His name is Robert
Peppers?
Quinn.
Oh, okay.
And no, he wouldn't have made it. I don't think
it would have made a difference.
Not enough.
No.
Would have helped. Might have sniffed Peyton Manning.
I would have added the guy I've been asking for the last few years on offense, Larry Fitzgerald.
Fitz. Look at Fitz.
Because he fits. I think he would fit.
Fitz.
Yeah. Brady wouldn't I'd, throw it to him. Brady would say he's not where he's supposed to be.
And I'm not sure it would have made the difference in the Super Bowl either.
Paul,
I would go with the pass rusher.
You got to pick one. You can't just say I'd go with the pass rusher. Pick one. Get off your fence and pick one.
But the best one right now, the best young pass rusher is Robert Quinn. Mm-hmm. Right?
I feel like somebody predicted
so
that.
So how can I? I mean, I that to me would be the guy.
I feel like somebody wrote like a column in PFW like 3 years ago and said, this is the guy.
I think somebody named one of his testicles after him.
Just to name someone. I think you're right. I think you have the pick, Andy. But just to name someone different, I'll say Sherman. Just to have a lockdown corner. But I think the pass rusher is more important than a lockdown corner.
What about J.J. Watt?
Watt?
Is he in the conversation?
Yeah.
Sure.
Are any of these, like, up-and-coming guys in? Like, do you, like, Greg Hardy? He's a free agent. Everybody wants to blow him. He had 15 sacks and everything. Like, well, but everybody's on his jock.
He doesn't even.
I know.
Like, he doesn't even, like, bat an eye.
We're talking football here.
Is that what we're doing?
Like, do you?
How long
are
we going?
Are any of these guys serious guys? Like Michael Johnson even is included. He had a down year.
I like Michael Johnson. I loved him coming out of college.
How long are we going here? Hey, Bill, you had your statement yesterday. I'm making mine now.
I think that he could be a guy that you
I'm
could
saying
get
something.
Because he's coming off a down year, maybe you could get him at a reasonable price.
So he's the perfect Patriot.
Right? He might be. He might be. And he has. No, he's proven
not,
it for more than 1 year.
He's not
Alden Smith.
I like Alden Smith, too. But, I mean,
not as much as he likes his cocktails.
I think Quinn is better than that.
I do, too.
I would take Watt.
You know
what? If I have to take a different defensive lineman, J.J. Watt, because I think he plays the run in, the pass extremely well. And he makes a lot of different plays. Not just about getting to the quarterback. He's knocking passes down. It's tackles
the
for
run.
A loss. Mm.
Yeah, that ridiculous number they put in their press release, like he was involved with, like,
the triple-double.
8,000 plays for a negative loss or zero, blah, blah,
he wanted
blah.
To get 20, 20, and 20, right?
He's the anti-Roosevelt Colvin. He actually cares about tackles for loss and things like that.
I'd rather...
Love you, Rosie. Get those cupcakes ready.
I'd rather have a zero-yard sack than a tackle on a running play for a 10-yard loss.
That's an actual quote from
that
Roosevelt
is, that is an actual quote. That is.
Says a lot about him. Not a bad guy. Just says a lot about him.
Makes a good cupcake.
But yeah, good job today, guys, on tackling the serious issue.
It's what we do.
And a lot of good response from the community of listeners around the world.
A lot of
too,
Jeffs so. In Canada know a lot about gayness.
Yes. And that Jeff wrote in back and said, not gay. Jeff from Red Deer.
Not that there's any, I mean, it's,
no,
it's fine if you are, you aren't. We're okay with it.
Love breasts too. Female ones just don't see a reason to discriminate someone for who they love.
Right. I love breasts too. I'm with you, bro.
Nice job. So next show is scheduled for Thursday.
Hopefully
noontime.
Fred will be here.
Well, hopefully we'll all be here. We're going to get another nor'easter.
Yeah, and it's very, they're all over the place, the track, it could be a lot of snow, could be not much, could be rain, the rain.
I thought you were worried about that meeting. I thought that's where you were going, not the snow.
Oh, well, I'm worried about that too, but, you know, the snow, for the rest of us, the snow could be a consideration then too, so.
I wonder if Fred's meeting will be over by then.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was a long one.
It's a long
scheduled
one.
To be a long one. But
8:30
anyway,
to 5:30.
If all goes well, we'll see
you. Can
you
imagine how much doodling he's getting done in that meeting?
Noon, Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.